If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let me ask you something. What do women want?
Who cares?
Irrational and emotionally fragile by nature, female co-workers are a peculiar animal. They are very insecure about their appearance. Be sure to tell them how good they look every day, even if they're homely and unkempt. And remember, nothing says good job like a firm, open palm slap on the behind.
You're just a woman with a small brain, with a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Look, first of all, if I can speak in my own defense, all I did was tell a little joke. Second of all, women are not people. They are devices built by the Lord Jesus Christ for our entertainment.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Women the equal of men? In what way? Are they stronger than men? Do they have more intelligence? Do they make laws or fight wars?
I promise you, and this comes from years of experience, women are never right.
And now,
why do women have boobs? So you got something to look at while you're talking to them.
That's a good one, Peter. That's what they're for, all right.
Our feature presentation.
I like that last guy.
That's what they're for, all right.
Yep.
Was there some sort of little fight with you and the wife in the Bean household?
I was just thinking that while he was playing. I was like,
A little problem with women, are you?
Somebody's angry at women today.
Yeah.
Well, who hasn't seen the Miss Teen USA clip? I mean, that's where that comes from.
Me?
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's the best. It's the YouTube sensation of the weekend. It's Miss South Carolina on the Miss Teen USA pageant. Did you see it, Mike?
Yes.
What happened?
You will not believe it is real. You will think it is a parody. It's impossible for a fully functioning, essentially adult human being to think and reason in such a convoluted way.
Well, I have the tape right here.
Good.
She is 18-year-old Miss Teen South Carolina Lauren Caitlin Upton. And I was thinking of Lauren as I was putting that open together because she's way hot and therefore never really had to learn anything because she's just hot and that's all she needs, right?
Quick warning, this will make you dumber just listening to it, so be careful.
And this is her on the pageant being asked one of those questions. One of the most fantastic things about beauty pageants, by the way, is, you know, the only reason we have them is we could see hot chicks, you know, with big boobs and bikinis, yet they still insist on going through the charade of talent shows and asking questions about world affairs and all that other stuff that nobody cares about. And here's what she had to say when she was given her question.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because...
Wait, this is the U.S. Americans she's talking
US
about?
U.S. Americans, okay.
That's the people she's talking about, okay.
Some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as...
Is anyone following
this?
No,
what is she saying, South Africa and Iraq? What does that mean?
I don't know. Is she saying that people don't have maps? Is that what she said?
Well, that's what she started with. Yeah, people don't have maps, which is just the dumbest thing ever.
Right? Because they go to school where they do have maps. Right. But what does that have to do with South Africa and Iraq? I don't...
I believe that they should... our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
That, you didn't edit that?
Oh, wait.
No,
you have to play it again
live.
And don't stop it. I want to hear
you
from beginning to end.
Edit that?
I don't know what she was trying to say, but you have to see the video, Kevin. Bring it up for you on YouTube because she's so hot, you just realize that's why she's not able to speak.
Sure.
All right, I'll play it again.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and... I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Why is everyone here so stupid?
What did she trail out at the end so we could help Asia? And
who knows? She was so far past her time already at that point.
Yeah. I think right as, I believe it was Mario Lopez, was pulling the mic away, she was saying, for our children.
Right, something like that, for our future.
Sure, honestly, if you watch the video, I think that's what she
said. Oh, my God, that's spectacular.
I bet South Africa can find themselves on a map.
That's they can. Well, that's not fair. There's a hint. Yeah, they got a hint in their name, Lisa, so that's not even really fair.
That's true, yeah. That's true.
She came in fourth. She was fourth place finisher. So I'm sorry to say she did not win because now we don't get a year of her. But
they should have crowned her whatever just for that answer.
Oh, I'm proud. I'm so proud.
I do love her so.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
That's a Hall of Famer right there that you just played. That goes into the category of best ever.
I love it.
Wow.
So there's no scholarship involved or anything
No.
I'm taking it.
No.
I don't know what you get for Miss Teen USA.
Because I think Miss America, they actually,
give money or whatever?
Yeah. Scholarships and stuff.
I don't know.
She's way pretty though.
Pretty good student.
Give her that. But she's mouth closed, Or mouth open, but not talking.
No.
I want to hear every sweet word she has to say.
Absolutely.
That's entertainment right there. That's good times. Wow, I love her.
Thank you, Bean.
Okay. Well, now you know where the open came from.
All right. I can't even argue.
Oh, dear God. That's great. Well, good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, and it is the 27th of... Lisa, how many plays over the weekend?
I saw the Shaolin Monks.
I don't even know what that is.
The Shaolin Monks, they're from China.
Yeah.
And that's where United Studios of Self-Defense, that's where our martial arts came from.
Ah.
And they were at the Terrace Theater in Long Beach performing, so I went to see them. They are like acrobats with weapons. It's the coolest thing. They do crazy stuff you can't even imagine anybody can do.
How do you find out about this stuff?
Because it was through my studio. It was all students and parents and family that went.
You have the strangest, you have the weirdest life of anyone I know.
I think it's diverse.
It is diverse.
I think I know. I see lots of different interesting things. It was very cool. I can't do anything they do, but it was very cool.
So they had weapons and they were putting on some kind of an acrobatic show?
Backflips and it was just great. I mean, they had all sorts of weapons and they would fight each other and then.
But it was more choreographed than fighting.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. Really at all.
I think you would have been impressed.
Like that. Kevin, if you like the Cirque du Soleil that you've seen, it sounds like you would like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like Jackie Chan.
In the same vein, I guess.
You like Jackie Chan?
I do, yeah.
They do stuff like that.
Nope. Bean, how was your weekend?
I lost my driver's license.
Nice.
Never done that before. Wow. Wasn't very happy about that.
Were you shopping or something?
Had it at a bookstore on Friday night. No, I had it there. They don't have it. Can't find it. Have gone very few places. Then I went to the Seattle Art Museum on Saturday. Once again, to be someone else in the room with a life completely different from Kevin's.
Yeah, no kidding.
And didn't have it when I pulled out my billfold to pay for admission there. Didn't have my license, and then that's all I could think about. The whole rest of the weekend, I was just tearing stuff apart and calling people and going back to places I'd been and just looking for my driver's license. And I don't think it's a big deal to lose your license because it's not like the type of thing somebody can do something with.
Yeah.
It's not like losing your credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what can they do with a driver's license? But that's, of course, today I'm going down to try to get a new one.
A really tall teenager can use it as a fake ID.
That's right. But
get
in clubs.
My name is McLovin on it, which is weird. So I don't know how many people are going to believe it anyway.
Just one word? What's your first name?
No, just McLovin. Just one name. Just got one name. Yeah. And I'm from Hawaii. I'm an organ donor. But anyway, so I lost my driver's license. That was the big news for me over the weekend. But I did see, Lisa, I heard you say you went to see the Bourne Ultimatum this week.
Oh, I did on Friday.
Good, right?
I finally saw it.
Yeah. Saturday, really I rented good. The Porn Ultimatum. And I got to tell you, that's worth checking out.
That's even better.
It's great because she has sex with you, then she doesn't remember it at all. So it's really cool. So those are the highlights of my weekend. Those two things.
Here's how different my weekend was from both of yours. I went to Slayer Marilyn Manson on Friday night, and then Saturday night I watched UFC.
That is very different.
That was it.
Yep.
It was a good weekend too. I enjoyed it.
I like mine too. So there.
Yours blows. Beans was bad.
Kevin has decided.
And we actually did a bunch of interviews in the parking lot out in front of the Slayer show.
Fantastic.
And I got to tell you, those people are my new favorite people.
Well, you've seen the movie, right? Heavy Metal Parking Lot. You've seen the film.
Actually, that's where we got the idea from.
Oh, yeah, because those are the greatest people in the world. They're doing everything but running for Miss Teen USA, those people.
Yes, and we have people. We did interviews with people in video that you'll see hopefully today, maybe tomorrow, I'm not sure. Lightning's editing out. But we interviewed people that were every bit as good as that movie. Maybe better. Right?
Yeah. I was talking to Lisa about it right before we went on the air. And I've done, you know, the red carpets. You guys send me out to red carpets. And you do, you know, stuff on the streets. And it was so easy to do these interviews because these people are just gold. You just open up the mic and let them roll.
It was like a stocked pond, you know?
It's awesome. I can't wait.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Were they all drunk or loaded or
most of them.
Something?
Most of them.
Okay.
Good combo.
That helps.
And they're high on rock, too, Lisa.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure that's what it was.
I got to tell you something. Slayer fans love themselves the Slayer.
They do enjoy their music.
Oh,
yes.
My God. I was in the bathroom during Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of Slayer fans in there. And they were shouting while going to the bathroom, Slayer's the best band in the world! And I just thought, okay, but I'm going to the bathroom. Do I have to respond to you?
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. So anyway, we have some interviews from that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also have Dave Duchovny on the show today.
I like him.
New show, Californication, which I love.
A lot of boobs,
yeah. but it's a well-done show, I think.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to Dave Duchovny today. We have sex injuries on the program today. Always funny. This is one of those that comes around every once in a while. We're forced to do it by, you know, events in the world maybe 3-4 times a year.
Yeah.
And we could probably go all day on that topic, unfortunately. So we'll talk about that this morning. Hopefully, we're going to talk today to Doto, the International Man of Mystery. We've literally been trying to track him down for 2 weeks, maybe more.
And it's not like he's out in the middle of a jungle somewhere. He's in cities that have telephones where millions of people are able to make calls every single day. Yet for some reason, we can never coordinate a time and a phone number with him to get him on the goddamn air for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And he'll write things back like, I'll call you on Tuesday. And we go, well, I don't know if that's Tuesday or Thursday. Not sure.
Turned out it wasn't either.
Wasn't either. Nope.
Nope.
No, it wasn't. So anyway, we're going to talk to the International Man of Mystery today. Tom Cruise has come out and said snoring is why Katie Holmes sleeps in a separate bedroom.
Oh, sure,
snoring.
That's it. Sure,
because
lots
he snores.
Have that problem. Sure.
Trapped in the Closet, the final chapter, R. Kelly, chapter 22 today.
Glad to see it go. Was excited to have it arrive. Now glad to see it go. It's like company staying too long.
And also K-Rock's LA Invasion. The only chance to win tickets today on K-Rock is during our morning show. They're not doing it the rest of the day. So we'll tell you when to call and how to play coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Bean.
Ralph Garman is here. First thing Monday morning to get you all caught up with a lot of showbiz news over the weekend. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Superbad continues to be just that, with $18 million additional dollars this weekend at the box office, making it number one by a long shot. Number two was The Bourne Ultimatum that Lisa mentioned she saw over the weekend, $12.4 million. Rush Hour 3 came in at number 3, just a little bit less than Bourne this weekend. $12.2 million made it number 3. Mr. Bean's Holiday, a surprise hit at the box office this weekend, and its debut made $10 million, made it number 4 at the box office.
What holiday is that about, by the way? Or is it?
It's not a holiday.
I don't know anything about that.
It's his vacation.
Oh, vacation.
Yeah, in England, they call vacations a holiday. You go on holiday, so it's just his vacation. War was just behind Mr. Bean in its debut, number 5 at the box office. Then The Nanny Diaries. In its debut, number 6, The Simpsons Movie was number 7, Stardust number 8, Hairspray was number 9, and in at number 10, the dismal Nicole Kidman failure, The Invasion.
Oh. Mm.
Kevin, you didn't go see your Scarlett Johansson movie this weekend?
Nah, I went to see War first.
What is it good
for? What is that good for?
Absolutely nothing!
Say it again!
How's War?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Is it one of your top ten favorite movies ever?
No.
I'm sure it is.
Probably
sure
not.
Is.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Wonder what gets nudged out every time he goes to see a movie. Don't they just drop off the list every weekend? He loses one of the
top Transformers 10. Is probably already out if you've seen 9 movies since then.
No, yeah. That's still
you got to make room for Bourne and all the others.
Bourne was quite a testosterone weekend, by the way. Slayer, UFC, and War.
Yeah.
Are you a 17-year-old boy? What's going on?
Just like to kick ass, my friend. I don't know.
I'll tell you what's going on.
I'm going to need that tape.
His wife's out of town.
Oh, his wife's out of town.
Yeah, she was.
That's what it is.
That's true. Kevin runs rampant.
Yep. So we can see what he would be doing if he were single.
Just Linus following him around, wiping crumbs off his chin. Imagine the full-time job Linus has when his wife's out of town.
Oh, God. Oh,
his assistant, Linus, has got to hate all that stuff. Linus doesn't want to go see movies and concerts like that.
There is no Linus, guys.
He's dying to see Nanny Diaries. He's stuck
Mr. Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, come on. Let's go see the Nanny Diaries instead.
Stuck in a matinee of war instead, hoping for the popcorn trick.
Oh!
Mariah Carey loves showing off her body, much to our chagrin.
Yes, she does.
She'll be wearing nothing but a shawl on the cover of the September issue of Interview magazine, but the really entertaining part comes from the interview held within.
Yes?
Talking about her breakdown in 2001, she says she now considers it a breakthrough, not a breakdown, when she went all crazy. She thinks it happened for a reason. She says she had to hit rock bottom to realize that the system was against her.
What?
I think paranoia is a good sign in mental health.
Which system is that?
You know, Lisa, the system.
The system?
The emergency broadcast system.
She's a super rich singer. I mean, she has $100 million, maybe.
You don't get the system.
What's
Kevin?
Against
you? You don't know the
Who's
system.
Who's keeping her down,
you
though?
You don't know the she system.
Can do anything and go anywhere.
It's the system.
What system?
The Dewey Decimal System.
I hate her.
Britney Spears' skill behind the wheel doesn't seem to have been improving these days.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
She got pulled over in Vegas last week. Police tried to pull her over, rather, but she kept going for a mile after they turned on their lights before she finally stopped into a gas station. Cops asked her why she was going so fast. Her excuse to the Las Vegas PD was that she was being chased by paparazzi. How convenient.
Mm-hmm. She uses that for everything.
Police didn't see any paparazzi, but that was what she was claiming.
Look, far be it for me to ever defend Britney. I mean, she's an idiot. But I wouldn't put it past the paparazzi from pretending to be in a police car and having sirens just to pull Britney over to get pictures of her. I can't imagine that that doesn't run through your mind if you're pursued like Britney is.
Hold on. You're thinking now the paparazzi are getting police cars and disguising themselves as cops to get pictures of Britney Spears.
I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised the lengths that they go to get these pictures lately. That would not surprise me if somebody attempted to do that. And I wonder if Britney thought that maybe
wouldn't
that's why she waited.
Wouldn't surprise you if they impersonated police officers, you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I thought Mariah Carey was paranoid. Lindsay Lohan's little sister Allie's a chip off the old block.
Oh, no.
London Sun tabloid claims her 13-year-old sister Allie was riding in a car with another teenager at the wheel. And neither of them had a license, and then they got into an accident in Long Island.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Police wouldn't comment on the situation, besides saying that the two people were slightly injured. But sources say the driver is a friend of hers who went on a joyride in mommy's car. And that's why neither of them had licenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good times. And Enrique Iglesias is, well, he has a chance to make a lot of money doing something that most of us wouldn't want to own up to.
What's that?
Enrique Iglesias has been offered, according to the New York Daily News, a contract from Lifestyles Condom Company for $1 million to be the spokesperson for their new line of extra small prophylactics.
Extra small.
Yeah, apparently Enrique confessed to Esquire magazine that he isn't very well endowed. So Lifestyles Condom said they'll give him $1 million if he'll be the spokesperson for their new tiny condoms.
What the hell is that? That's not sexy.
A representative for the company said it takes a real man to admit his shortcomings. And if this Latin crooner can flaunt a fault and still keep girlfriend Anna Kournikova on his arm, other men are sure to take pride in what they're not packing. His people have no comment on the $1 million offer yet. How did Psycho Mike miss this opportunity for a commercial, by the way?
They were still too big.
Latin, tiny. He's got it all over him.
He tried them on, they wouldn't
Doesn't
fit.
Have a giant mole on his face.
Yeah.
He's got that going for him, too. Listen how quiet he is in the back of the room for once.
Oh, I know.
I know, it's very odd.
I have no argument against a small pee-pee.
Ryan Seacrest was not, in fact, the first choice to host the Primetime Emmy Awards.
What?
They said he was. They said they couldn't think of a comedian, blah, blah, blah.
Surprise, 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 they all lied. According to the Star magazine, the host of American Idol was actually their ninth choice. After the following list of entertainers turned them down. Conan O'Brien, Jerry Seinfeld, Ellen DeGeneres, Chris Rock, Drew Carey, Oprah, Brad Garrett, and George Lopez. Who else do we have? We have Ryan Seacrest.
Seriously, who do we have?
Or Carrot Top.
They said they couldn't think of anyone else.
I know. No, he was our first choice.
Wow.
He was the one we wanted to go to. He brings new life to it.
Just give it to Regis. Just give everything to Regis. Just let him do it.
That's going to be the title of my autobiography. Just give everything to Regis.
Exactly.
And no one had Austin Nichols of John from Cincinnati in the DUI pool,
oh,
so
no
it
kidding.
Carries on. According to E! Online, he was popped after he was spotted pulling a Nicole Richie and was going the wrong direction down a one-way street.
The end is near.
Yeah, apparently it is, Austin. The end of your holding a driver's license.
Wow, going the wrong way.
Yeah. And boozed up, which
that's
is never a
good
combination.
Different level of drunk than most people get. Going
no
the
kidding.
Wrong way.
Yeah, once you're too loaded to read street signs,
yeah,
that's time to pull over and call a cab. Today's celebrity birthday is Paul Rubens, probably best known as Pee Wee Herman, turns 55 years old today.
Ha, 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 ha. I can't believe how old I am.
Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy is 38 years old today. Sarah Chalk from Scrubs, also known Ooh. As Second Becky. She's 31 years old today. She was the replacement Becky on Roseanne.
Ah.
And Tony Canal, our pal from No Doubt, turns 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's say good morning to our old friend Tom Cruise. Good morning, Tom.
I have sex with women.
No one was saying anything else, Tom. All we said was hello. I'm right here, Tom. Yes.
Don't be glib. I know what you were trying to insinuate. And I have a staff of lawyers standing by listening to this phone call.
Well, but all we said was, hello, Tom. We didn't say anything about anything.
Hello, Tom. I heard the way you said it.
We didn't say it that way.
All gay and fruity.
All right, let's talk about
that. That's just the way you talk.
That's how he
talks. Might be my man.
Let's talk about some of the stories in the news. Let's talk about Katie Holmes.
I love my wife.
Yes.
I love Katie.
Sure.
Look at me. I'm on a couch. Look, I'm jumping. I love her. I love her.
No one's asking, Tom.
All right.
We're taking that for granted. All right. She flew to Los Angeles recently to talk to Warner Brothers about being the new Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Are you in favor of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
She's a great Wonder Woman. I think she is a Wonder Woman. She's my Wonder Woman.
Right.
And I think she'd be a terrific, terrific cartoon character. She's two-dimensional.
She's two-dimensional?
Yes.
Isn't she three-dimensional, Tom? Isn't she a real-life human being in your home?
Try to have a conversation with her.
Oh, yeah,
dear God.
We've never done that.
Did you know Wonder Woman is a character who comes from an island entirely populated by women?
Yes.
Can you imagine a worse place?
It sounds pretty good to me, Tom.
Life is hell on earth.
Wow,
Wonder Woman comes from.
Sounds great.
If there's an island full of men now, that would be better.
That's you saying that. By the way, you don't mind your wife working, because I kind of got the impression from some of the tabloids that you don't even like to let her out of your sight, much less go off and be on a film set.
Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there every step of the way.
Oh.
In fact, I'm trying to get a role as one of the other women who lives on the island.
Well, you're not a woman.
Okay. There's that.
There is that.
Maybe I could be the invisible jet. She could ride me. Because that is sexy, and I love sex with women.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
We know that about you.
That'd be hot.
Speaking of films, Tom, if you're on the set, is it likely that a dozen extras will get hurt at the Wonder Woman set the way they were hurt on your set?
How dare you? How dare you?
Well, what happened with this Valkyrie movie where all these poor extras fell out of a bus?
Bing, 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 bing.
Yes.
Did you know in some cultures movie extras are treated as street drugs?
No. No, that's ridiculous.
Doesn't even make any sense, Tom.
You're right. I don't know what I was going for.
There were like 11 of them. They fell out of a truck. They got minor injuries.
Yes. And if they had been Scientologists, they would have been unscathed.
Really?
Yes.
You can fall from a truck and not get hurt?
Rare fact about Scientologists, we bounce.
How about that?
I did not know that.
We are rubberized by exercise and vitamins.
Okay.
Yes.
Good times.
And you can clean us up easily, too. We don't stain.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We're learning a lot about your
modernized.
Religion.
All right. Now, what about Star Magazine, which is coming out and saying that you and Katie Holmes sleep in separate bedrooms because you snore so loud?
Kevin.
Right here listening.
That's outrageous. You are being outrageous.
Star Magazine says it's a situation that works for both of them. Of course, they spend time alone at night, like most married couples.
Yes, we do. Having sex having a married couple sex with a man and a woman and those parts that fit together.
Right, but it says in Star
Magazine. Friction.
It says in Star Magazine that you've slept in separate bedrooms since you started dating in 2005. She has her wing with her bedroom in it. You have your wing with your bedroom in it.
Yes.
And they're quite far apart.
Well, all right, that part's true.
It is true.
We do sleep separately, but that's because I snore. Because I snore and she needs her beauty sleep.
Right.
So I sleep in a separate wing.
Mm-hmm. It's not that your marriage is a sham?
How dare you?
I'm just asking.
You have that down, guys? Guys, you have that down? Yeah, the lawyer's got that one.
Well, Kevin said it just because we were just curious.
Katie has her own bedroom that is decorated in very feminine style.
Her own wing with a bedroom in it, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very, very feminine. She's painted it in pastel colors.
Sure.
There's a little carousel. There's stuffed animals.
What about your wing?
God, I love that room.
Yeah.
But my room is masculine.
Yeah.
It's filled with barbed wire. And,
what the hell? Whose bedroom is filled with barbed wire?
Guns and bombs.
What are you talking about?
Stallions.
Why would you have those things
in your bedroom? Are you just thinking of manly stuff?
Of cowboys.
Oh, now we're onto something.
A lot of football players.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Weightlifters.
Yeah.
Wrestlers.
Ask your lawyers if they got that. Time?
Wow. Wow, am I wrecked.
Oh!
Standing straight. I'm standing straight up.
Right.
How dare you? Did you get that? You get what I said about
you
me?
You said it.
Did you get what I said about me? Sue me. Take a memo. Sue Tom Cruise.
First, though, let's go to the email bag. You can write to any of us. Bean@Kerrock.com, Lisa@Kerrock.com, PsychoMike@Kerrock.com, Kevin@Kerrock.com. I think you get the idea, but if you forget, all of our email addresses are up there at Kerrock.com, along with lots of new video. We've got sounds, sites, podcasting. A lot of good stuff. You should check it out.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. It's been a while since we've talked about this. I need help. I used to use I'm just saying to win any argument.
Sure.
That does work. You can say something completely ridiculous like the earth has no gravity. And then somebody else will say, wow, that's ridiculous. And you go, I'm just saying. And somehow there's no way to come back from that. But I've met my match. Now I work with someone who uses it on me, and I can't remember the phrase in the universe that beats it. But I know you can. Help a brother out, Patrick.
Yeah, there's only one. There's only one effective antidote to I'm just saying.
And it's yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
Right.
And then if they say that, then you come back with, that's my point.
Closer.
At this point, they're so confused, you automatically win. Dear Kevin and Bean, you have to help me out with this. I've never heard of it before, but I have a Mexican friend who asked me if I knew that if you watch a dog take a poo, that you get a pimple or some damn thing in your eye.
What?
This is a Mexican friend who told him this, all right? She said it is called a perilla. She was absolutely serious, and she was deeply offended that I thought it was stupid. I had to promise her that I would look for a very large dog to watch. She told me she's looking forward to seeing me in pain. Have you guys ever heard of anything like this? Please let me know. Chuck, have you guys heard of anything like this?
No, Mike.
Look, if that were true, I'd be blind.
You've never heard anything like that?
No.
Hmm.
All right, and Mike is one of them Mexicans, so he would know, right?
Yes. If you've heard of it, email us and let us know what the hell that's about. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
This is about Jordan's number one hit music station and our new syndicated family. As Kevin and Bean take over the Middle East. It's hard to believe that 99.6 would want to replace the Big Breakfast Show with Orange with you guys. After all, does the Kevin and Bean Show offer the shower hour? 60 minutes of great songs to help you wake up, have a shower, and face the day? I didn't think so. Joseph.
A shower hour.
They do have the shower hour.
Damn.
I don't think our new girlfriend, Gada, the program director, was planning on replacing Orange. I think she was going to have us on at a different time of the day. I don't think we were going to be doing mornings over there as well, is my understanding. So maybe there's room for both of us on the station. So.
No, most of our listeners don't really shower, though.
True.
So
the King of Mexico writes to me, if you watch a dog poop, you get pink eye.
Well, that makes as much sense as the other thing, which is exactly none.
If you reach into the poo and then rub your
what
eye.
What the hell? What's wrong with you people?
Here's a couple of emails about a topic we had on the air the other day, which is strange, irrational fears. It got started because Lisa has a fear of shopping, which is very unusual for a woman to have.
Yes.
And then people were calling in with all the things they were afraid of. And here's a couple of them that I think you're going to love. Lynn writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I have a fear of the phone ringing in the middle of the night because no one calls at night. I feel like if you get a call in the middle of the night, it's something that can't be good or it'll be an obscene phone call. I will not answer the phone in the middle of the night because I'm so afraid of it. which, by the way, means if there's bad news, when your dad dies, you won't know about it. You won't find out about it till the next morning.
But, wow.
And won't you lay there all night wondering?
Yeah. Yeah. Dear Kevin and Bean, I have a strange supernatural fear of lizards, mainly that they'll crawl up my leg and into my private areas. Logically, I know they're not interested in that, but if they're so fast and if one ran up my leg, how could I possibly stop it? Most lizards are big enough that I might be able to grab them before they got that far, but I went to Maui last month and I saw a teeny tiny little gecko that would easily make it up there without me even noticing. My heart is pounding right now just typing this. I know it's crazy, but every time I see a lizard, I tense up, says Jennifer. All Jennifer's being hot, she's probably worried about anything trying to get up in her pants because everything is. And finally from Ashley, hey guys, I know this sounds crazy, but I am super scared of the bathroom.
Scared of the bathroom?
I have to have the door open 90% of the time in order to even be in there. On bad days, I've actually jumped out of the shower with soap still on my hair and ran from the bathroom. Sometimes I can't blow dry my hair because I get a weird sensation and a cold chill runs through me. It's a horrible phobia. When I was little, I used to make my mom sit on the toilet while I was in the shower. I can't even close my eyes when I'm in the shower, so many times I've gotten soap in my eyes and freaked out because I've had to close them. The shower is the worst. I constantly have to pull back the curtain so I can look around the bathroom. Weird, I know. Ashley has issues, my friend.
What
is that, like?
Like
Psycho, like she saw Psycho when she was a little kid, you know, where the woman gets stabbed in the shower.
I don't know, but that's nuts.
I guess she just, once you start thinking about there could be somebody on the other side of this curtain in the room and I wouldn't know it, I guess that's all you can think about. I guess it just freaks her out.
Yeah, but you'd think at some point you try and handle it. Like I used to think every once in a while when you sit down on the toilet that a snake would come up and bite my ass.
Right.
At best case scenario. But then I told myself, that's stupid. So then you just get over it. You move on. I mean...
Yeah, you would think so. Let's talk to Zenzer real quick on line four. He's got an update on looking at a dog poop.
Sorry, I thought you said Zenzer.
I'm afraid so.
Zenzer?
Zender.
Zender, hi.
Well, that's better.
What's the deal on this thing with the dog poop?
It's like a, you know, like an old legend, I guess you want to call it. Say if you look at a dog poop, you know, it's pretty much like a little sign around your eye. You know, that's pretty much what it is.
Okay, but how did an urban legend like that exist after the first person looked at a dog and nothing happened to their eye? It seems like that would pretty much kill the story.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like a Mexican thing, you want to call it, you know? When, you know, you pretty much look at a dog and...
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like when I was a kid, my mom always told me not to do it.
But you don't think it's true still, do you?
I don't think it's true, but, you know, I guess...
It's not worth risking it?
Huh?
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the worst urban legend ever, by the way.
That's nutty.
Isn't it?
This one is about football, so of course I wanted to read it quick. You guys want some football action? You should totally check out the all-female, full-contact pro football team, the LA Amazons.
Oh.
Their first home game is this past Saturday. This ain't your lingerie bowl, boys. This is NFL rules gritty football with some tough and sexy chicks. Their first game of the season was last weekend. They beat the New Mexico Burns 64-0.
Well, that's high-quality competition right there, 64-0.
On their way to the Super Bowl, baby. Kerry.
That's got to be awful, by the way. Dear Kevin Amin, this email from Vic begins, Tina Fey's scar looks so hot in high def. It really pops.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. And this one is about a topic that we've gotten a lot of response on. Hey, Kevin and B, I wanted to know why you guys don't put Psycho Mike spoof songs on the Download Rodeo. For example, I Lean Like a Homo, Brow Down, Party Like an Armo, and others. Josh from Los Angeles. And Kelly writes, Dear Kevin and Bean, hey there. Wondering how I could hear the Lean Like a Homo song you play every now and then. I think it's hilarious. I wanted a friend to hear it. Please let me know how it can be heard. Thanks. We're going to put it up for streaming. Some stuff like that that we use other music beds that we can't put for download.
Because they're owned by
somebody. Copyrighted.
Right.
Yeah.
But we
yeah.
can put it up for streaming. We will do that a little bit later on today. But this is Lean Like a Homo.
All the homos know what I mean. Baby, let me show you how I lean.
Like a homo.
Tie the straps on my assless chaps. Everybody, let's dance.
Spread them wide. Ass cheeks up. Spread them wide.
I lean like a homo.
Spread them wide. Ass cheeks up. Spread them wide.
I got the lube. I got the poppers. Let me see what's inside those boxers. Young studs all in the disco. West Hollywood, San Francisco. I love show tunes. I love clothes. Bar she blows. Tight jeans and a V-neck sweater. When it comes to sausage, I'm a go-getter. Big boys all stop and stare at my real tight buns and my frosted hair. If I want a bone, that bone will get buried. I'll move to Canada if I want to get married. I don't care about those boobs and in bikinis. I'd rather look at Zac Efron's weenie. That's how we live, party and play, every single day for the gay. I lean like a homo.
Spread them wide, ass cheeks up, spread them wide.
I lean like a homo.
Spread them wide, ass cheeks up, spread them wide.
Just lean like a homo.
Spread them wide, ass cheeks up, spread them wide.
I lean like a homo.
Spread them wide, ass cheeks up, spread them wide.
It's top-notch gay.
So your wife and kids just moved out, man? They just left you?
No, they were on vacation. They were on vacation.
Well, that's how it starts.
And I don't have vacation right now. Yeah, vacation.
And then it's, we're not coming back, honey. That's what happens after we're on vacation. Believe me, they bought a place in Hawaii by now. So you're taking advantage of that and doing all the stuff that you never had time to do when they're around. And that includes becoming a 17-year-old boy. Do I have that right?
Well, here's the thing. Not only were my wife and kids gone, but we're having major construction on our house, and it just sucks ass. So I was looking for any reason to get out of the house.
Sure.
That makes sense.
We've been talking about going to the show for how long, Psycho Mike? Maybe
a month.
A month, yeah. Going to Slayer Manson. So it's down at Irvine Meadows, formerly Irvine Meadows, I guess.
Verizon Wireless.
Verizon Wireless, yeah. And Slayer fans are unique, really.
Tell me.
Well, have you ever seen the metal school parking lot?
I didn't. Huh.
It's magic. It's just magic. It's people in the parking lot. When was that done, Bean, that movie, the original movie?
I don't know how many years back it goes. Yeah, quite a few. But it's a cult classic now. It's called Heavy Metal Parking Lot, if you want to check it out. And basically, they just go into the exactly what it sounds like. They just go in and interview people who are going to see rock shows. And those people are a rare breed. They really are into their music, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they like to drink in the parking lot ahead of time. And we've done a lot of interviews at places. And most of the time, you have to interview, you know, 15 people to get a couple of good interviews, because
sure,
most of them don't work. Here, everybody we talked to was gold. It was just unbelievable.
Great.
And the video will be up a little bit later on this morning at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. But here's the first group of people that we interviewed.
What's your name?
My name is the Washboard.
How'd you get that name? With your chiseled abs?
All right. Basically, what's going on is I'm here for Meryl. Slayer and Marilyn Manson.
I thought it was from Maryland.
Marilyn Manson.
That's what he told
Marilyn
me in the car.
Marilyn Manson.
He said Ann Slayer.
Is this your girlfriend?
No, this is my cousin. Please don't be so long.
Well, being that we're at a Slayer show, I'm going to ask again, just because she's your cousin, is that your girlfriend?
So that guy, we left, and we looked back about 10 minutes later, and he was getting cuffed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was getting arrested for something. I don't know. He got a ticket, I think, for public drinking or something. I don't know what it was for. But the cops, by the way, were going around on Segways. And I got to tell you, I know they're handy and all, but
right?
But police, you don't strike fear into the hearts of people on a Segway. I mean,
nope,
it looks,
you might as well be at a unicycle.
It looks pretty gay. You know, it's just, that doesn't work. You got to have some kind of way that you look like you mean business, and a Segway ain't it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, police officers, just stick with a motorcycle in the parking lot of a Slayer concert, all
right? Right, exactly. So the next group we come up to, the back of their truck was open. They had bottles of Jack Daniels.
Wow.
And boy, were they partying hard.
Why did you come here tonight?
Oh, Slayer!
Slayer! Manson fans are a bunch of pussies! Yeah!
Those guys included a guy who tried to high-five me 35 times. Every single thing that was said, and all concert long, he found where I was. He would come up and go, high five! It was the strangest thing. I was like, dude, I'm not going to high five you anymore. I only have so many high fives in me in one night.
You can't use them all up. You'll be out for the whole year if you use them all up in one night. Hey, how did the Manson act and fans go over with the Slayer crowd?
It was weird. It was kind of, I don't know. It was really weird because there were a certain amount of Slayer fans that had no time for Manson.
Mm-hmm. Right.
None whatsoever. But most of the people stayed. You know, it's because Manson went on last. It's not like everyone left after Slayer.
Right.
What do you think, Mike? It's a weird mixture because some people can put up with it.
Yeah.
And others just don't have any time.
There were some extreme diehards. It was like maybe 10% of the fans left when Manson came on. But most of the crowd stayed and was into it. You know, I was surprised at how well everybody got along, you know. The guys in, like, black trench coats with black lipstick and these really drunk rednecks that came to see Slayer.
Exactly.
There was not a lot of fights or animosity, really.
I'll tell you this about the Manson fans. They like to dress up like Marilyn Manson. I'll tell you that. And here's something to know about that. Not a good look. Your man
Not
Manson,
even a good look for Marilyn, by the way.
Your man Manson looks awful. He looks like a retard from outer space, and you guys are dressing just like him.
I wish Fallout Boy had also been on the bill.
Yeah. So we kept talking to the group of guys that had the bottle of Jack Daniels, and all of a sudden, one of the guys started shouting something that we found rather funny.
Mom, she's a whore! Yeah! Mom's a whore!
Tell us about your mom, the whore. Why is she a whore?
Damn, it dates back to World War II.
Yeah?
She won't tell me the truth, but she's a big whore.
She's good times, okay? Let's leave it at that.
World War II.
That guy went on and on and on about how much his mom's a whore. That's a strange thing, you know? Most people, if their mom's a whore, they don't really say much about it. But he'd been drinking for a while, so we wanted to know how long they'd been into Slayer.
I've been seeing Slayer since, like, 87, when my mother wore combat boots. Yeah! Yeah! F*** everybody! You eat suck fuck your mom die 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 fuck your mom die 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 fuck your mom die 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 fuck your mom yeah.
That's what you get at a Slayer show right there. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the guy in the wheelchair, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Guy in the wheelchair.
Who collected bottles and cans for weeks in order to be able to go to the show.
He's like, I had to turn in cans this morning so I could go to the show, but he, I think, speaks for a whole generation of people when he says,
I've been seeing Slayer since, like, 87, when my mother wore combat boots. Yeah! F*** yeah! F*** everybody! F*** you! Eat suck F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Yeah!
I think you can tell he grabbed the microphone from us and just had his way with it.
And that's good news for all of us.
But those are the people at a Slayer show, and I had a great time. Psycho Mike had a great time?
Yes. My neck's still sore from headbanging.
I believe we are going to put up some pictures, too, a little bit later on today from the
How was the
show.
King in the pit? I know how out of control he gets.
He was kind of reserved a little bit, I think.
Really? Okay.
Dave was actually just, like, intrigued by the show. You know, he wasn't really going off too much. But Dave didn't have as much to drink as he usually does.
That's true.
So that might have played a role.
That's true. I'll tell you, it's great people watching, too, at a show like that.
I bet.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But we had a great time, and the pictures will be up. And that video of that guy, that very charming guy that you just heard, will be up at krock.com a little bit later on. Trapped in the Closet, the final chapter coming up in the next hour, along with Dave Duchovny.
Thank God it's the final chapter. That's all I got to say.
Ralph has spent every morning for the last, 10 days going through this Trapped in the Closet.
It's getting worse and worse and worse.
That's sad. It had so much hope, you know?
Yeah, it started off pretty strong, and then it just fizzled.
Well, we all remember the Star Wars prequels. Sometimes that just happens. Sometimes you shouldn't mess with the original greatness. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
It's 6:53, Monday morning. Ralph's here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Disturbing news coming out of Santa Monica this morning. Over the weekend, you may have seen a notice that actor Owen Wilson was transported by paramedics Sunday afternoon to a hospital in Santa Monica. It turns out, according to Star Magazine and National Enquirer and other sources, that the reason he was taken to the hospital was that he was discovered by a family member that he attempted suicide, according to these reports.
Oh, no.
The person was transported to a local hospital where he was treated. This comes from a statement from the Santa Monica Police Department, but they will not say anything further due to medical privacy laws. However, the National Enquirer says that he had slit his left wrist and took unidentified pills in an attempt to kill himself.
Oh, no.
Dude.
You would never think that Owen Wilson would be a depressed guy.
Seems like such a happy-go-lucky fella.
He does.
Did he just see You, Me, and Dupree or something? I mean, what? Any idea what could have happened?
See, it's usually tragedy plus time is the equation for comedy.
I got that wrong.
You forgot the plus time.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Thought it was minus time.
Too soon?
He was transported to St. John's Health Center after a family member called 911, according to these publications. And then he was transferred to Cedars-Sinai to receive detox treatment. So perhaps he was drunk or under influence of some other substance when he made this suicide attempt. So Luke Wilson was seen leaving the Beverly Hills Treatment Center at Cedars-Sinai, giving some substantiation to these rumors. So we'll be following the story, but it sounds like he's going through something rough.
Yeah.
You know, it is that Kate Hudson, man. She'll drive anybody.
Now, why isn't now been enough time?
That freaking broad. Because that's on Kate Hudson.
It's not talking about the guy.
It's not on him. You don't get it, man.
He doesn't understand the rules.
I'm just saying.
Top 10 movies this weekend at the box office. Superbad continues to be a comic juggernaut. Made another $18 million this weekend. It's a goddamn funny movie.
Yes, it is.
God damn it.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it makes me so angry. It's so funny.
Why does it make you angry?
Because, you know, it's like my good friend.
Wow. Did you have a stroke? What just happened?
I kept thinking Will Arnett because we were just making that comedy with the King of Mexico.
Right.
And I couldn't think of Will Ferrell's name.
Oh, okay.
My good friend Will Ferrell, who I couldn't think of his name. It's like Will said to me after Will saw Borat. He said, Ralph, you got to see Borat. It will make you angry because it's so funny. It's angry and depressing to be in the comedy business and make and then see somebody do it so brilliantly well that you're like, well, I'll never be that good. So that's kind of depressing.
I got you.
So I alternately loved it and then walked out saying, damn, why can't I be as funny as anyone in that movie? Just brilliantly funny.
If you
funny.
Had the movie star good looks like McLovin, perhaps you could get something going with your career.
If I looked like Jonah Hill, if I had that sort of natural good looks and charm, I'd be in the business. Bourne Ultimatum was number two at the box office, $12.4 million. Rush Hour 3 was just behind that with 12.2 at number three. Mr. Bean's Holiday, a surprise hit over the weekend. That Mr. Bean, he's very popular.
Yeah.
In spite of those commercials.
I think it's the kids, though. I think that's his audience, right? It's the kids.
I think anything with Bean in it is automatically funny and people gravitate towards it. It's just the
except
word.
For this show.
The word Bean is just magic. Here. War. Huh. What is it good for?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Say it again. Number five at the box office, $10 million this weekend. Jeremy Statham, Jet Li.
Or Jason Statham.
That him too.
Guns, and Jim Lee.
Guns. The Nanny Diaries, number six. Simpsons Movie, number seven. Hair Dust. Or Stardust.
What is going on with you?
Are you drinking?
I just don't care. That's the problem. I gotta work up some care.
Wow. Yeah,
that's the problem.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
Stardust and Hairspray are right next to each other in this tiny little print.
Hair Dust.
And I just ran
the
them
same
together.
Movie, though.
Just ran them together into Hair Dust. They might as well be. One's
wow.
Dave.
That was some serious hardcore self-destruction.
Yeah. One's gay John Travolta mincing about in a fat suit. The other one's Robert De Niro playing a gay pirate. It's just all so
wow.
Gay.
That was embarrassing for you.
This is a mess.
See, your station has a lot of problems.
Yes, we do. So, Hair Dust was 8 and 9 all combined, right. And The Invasion number 10 at the box office this week.
Well, shame on you.
Ow. Loud. Cameron Diaz and Cuba Gooding Jr. were a couple of the celebrities in a club on Friday night in New York City called The Box.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
They were minding their own business when suddenly a huge police bust went down around 1 a.m. Dozens of police officers swarming the building.
No kidding.
According to the New York Post, people were searched. No one seemed to know what was going on. Then authorities shut the place down around 3 a.m. Representatives say it was due to a misprint on a food handling permit. Yeah, that's usually why they bring in the SWAT team.
Yeah.
A mistake which has since been corrected, according to the owners of the club. So
that's what it was.
Yeah.
A misprint.
Cops love to bust in on a Friday night at 1 a.m. when there's some food mishandling going on.
That's when they handle those cases.
That's true.
Middle
that's
of the night.
They like to come in. So no word on exactly what was happening. I'm guessing it was more than just food handling. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not in the nightclub business. Britney Spears, still just magic behind the wheel of a car. She was popped late last week in Las Vegas when police tried to pull her over. But she wouldn't pull over for him. She kept going for about a mile before she finally stopped her Mercedes at a gas station.
They like that, right? They're big fans of that? Cops?
Yeah, they like it when you don't listen to what they say.
Yeah.
She was speeding, it turns out, and cops asked her why she was speeding. Her excuse was that she was being chased by the paparazzi.
Damn.
That's a convenient thing
that's
to
a catch-all,
say.
Isn't it, for her?
You're Britney Spears, you can just say that anytime you want. Yep. Oh, why'd you have that accident? Oh, the paparazzi. Oh, why'd you do this? Paparazzi. Paparazzi. Why you stupid white trash, paparazzi? This is a great story. It's a great story. Bear with me. It involves two old-timers, but it's a great story.
Right.
Merv Griffin, legendary TV show producer, gave us Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, was a talk show host back in the day.
Sure.
He's dead.
Right.
Passed away from prostate cancer. Jerry Lewis is furious at him.
What are you talking about?
He's dead, but Jerry is ticked off at him.
How can he be?
He told Entertainment Tonight that he's very angry at Merv Griffin because Merv knew he had prostate cancer and didn't do enough about it, so he deserves his death sentence.
What?
That's a giver right there.
What's wrong with him?
He's, you know, he showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
That's what I hear, yeah.
that Jerry Lewis right
Wow.
there. Yeah.
Is there any truth to Lewis's accusations? I mean, did Merv get diagnosed and then just not take treatment? Is that what happened?
Well, he did get diagnosed, and he did take treatment, and then apparently they had it in remission, or they thought they did, and then it came back. Now, maybe the second time around, he decided, look, I'm just going to surrender to it.
I think it metastasized.
But I don't think anyone really deserves death from cancer, regardless of their behavior.
Easy, Jerry Lewis.
Easy, Jerry. If he was in a wheelchair, I bet you'd like him.
The hell.
But he couldn't walk, I bet you'd have a little sympathy.
That's right.
That goddamn son of a bitch should die of cancer.
Just going off on people. Matt Damon's the man.
Yeah.
On so many levels. And here's one of the great ways to use your notoriety and fame is to get back at girls who burned you in the past.
Oh, sure.
He told Star Magazine that he got his heart broken at his senior prom by a girl named Tammy Jones. I'm glad he names her. She was the star of the basketball team. She was at the prom with him, and then she decided to take off with an ex-boyfriend and left him at the prom with no car and no way to get home.
Dude.
That sucks.
That does suck.
But at least he gets to embarrass her now publicly years later by being a big movie star.
That's funny.
So that's the whole point.
I suspect Ralph has a little notebook from high school and college with a lot of names in it that he's just waiting for the right moment.
To do what to?
Well, be in the position that Matt Damon is and then be able to, you know, embarrass them publicly.
I have no complaints about any of the ladies that I've known in the past.
You never got left at a prom?
I would give them all. No, no. I did. I shouldn't say this.
No, go ahead.
I cheated on my girlfriend at the prom with another girl.
At the prom?
At the prom.
So girls would have complaints about
exactly.
you.
Exactly. If anybody's going to be bitching, it's going to be them.
So she was still out there dancing or whatever?
I said, I'll be right back. She was at the table. I left and went into an elevator with another chick at the hotel we were having the prom and took the elevator up to one of the floors and just went at it, then got back in the elevator, came back down, and then went back to the table.
Nice.
Wow.
That's not good behavior.
Well, it's not ideal.
I don't recommend that for anyone.
OMG. Oh, my God.
That isn't good for you.
That was bad behavior, and I regret it to this day.
Yeah.
So you're on her list. I sincerely apologize. Kirsten Dunst was robbed. Not just of her braces at a young age. No. In fact, she was in a New York City hotel room earlier this month, and thieves broke in, took off with her ID, credit cards, a digital camera, an iPod, $2,500 in cash, and a purse that was worth $13,000.
Dude.
Wow.
One suspect was arraigned on burglary and larceny charges, being held on a $50,000 bond. The cops found her credit cards, ID, and cell phone on the dude, so I guess he's pretty much busted. When interviewed, the guy said he would have molested Kirsten Dunst, but then he caught a look at her. Opted just to take some stuff instead. Because she's not good looking.
Right.
More legal news in the Hollywood Reporter. They say that someone is suing Disney, a writer, because he claims he came up with the concept for Hannah Montana. His name is Buddy Sheffield, and he actually is a writer. He wrote for In Living Color and created a show for Nickelodeon. He said he pitched the Disney Channel a similar idea about a junior high school boy named Roland Dillard who leads a secret life as a pop star named Rock Ryder. The judge said anyone who admit to coming up with the idea for Hannah Montana must be telling the truth. Who would lie about such a thing?
Yeah.
Taking credit for Hannah Montana. Even if they stole it, I'd be like, all right, you get it. I don't want to publicly say that
I
was involved. And Pete Doherty's in more trouble.
Nope.
What are the odds?
Fantastic.
100%.
Ex-boyfriend of Kate Moss is in more trouble after a female photographer named Kathy Mead accused him of assault and battery. Apparently, she's claiming that he attacked her.
Pete Doherty? No way.
Yeah.
Guy's on the up and up.
He's giving rehab another shot, by the way. He's currently in a rehab center called Clouds House in Salisbury, England. It's one of those super posh facilities, kind of like Promises.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outside of London. Robbie Williams apparently did some time there, as did Boy George. $600 a day it costs.
Oh.
They interviewed Pete Doherty as he was going in.
this is what he had to say.
Yeah! Yeah! F*** everybody! F*** you! Eat suck F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Yeah!
So you can see he was still a little under the influence.
Omar should
needed
drink.
Rehab.
Omar really shouldn't drink.
That's true.
I didn't have a chance to talk about this, speaking of Pete Doherty last week, but apparently one of his cats tested positive for huge amounts of cocaine in his bloodstream.
Oh, no. Yeah. Come on.
Pete Doherty's cats have tested positive for cocaine. They are currently being held on a $100,000 bond waiting to be arraigned for possession. So,
Oh, man.
No, I'm not kidding. Apparently one of his cats had a litter, and one of the kittens was very sick.
Oh, no.
And so they had to take the kitten into the vet, and it turned out the kid was addicted to coke. The kitten was addicted to coke. No word on how the cats got loaded up on blow, but it's Pete Doherty.
How could they possibly have found it in Pete Doherty's place?
Yeah.
Good times.
That's a cat just saying, hey, what's this powder? This catnip? Wow! Yeah. I want to paint my litter box.
It all geeked out.
This is a mess.
Sure is. Have you seen that hair dust, that movie?
I haven't.
Very good. I want to.
I saw Star Spray. Saw that one.
I rented that once. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman's 55 years old today. You know, they're working on another Pee Wee movie.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
They better freaking hurry up. He's
no
55. Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy. She's 38 years old today. Tony Cannell from No Doubt is 37. And Sarah Chalk, I just think she's adorable. She plays Elliot on Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
She's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz
LA Invasion, September 15th, Home Depot, Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Cypress Hill, a whole bunch more. And your tickets, we have your chance for tickets coming up later this morning.
It's
whatever
catching.
Ralph had is catching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan, very much. It's real good to be back with you again this year.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet so I don't get it.
Smart.
All right. It's 7:16 Monday morning. Forget all of that. Yeah, LA Evasion, that's great and all. But what about Trapped in the Closet, the final chapter, ladies and gentlemen? What about that this morning?
Thank God it's over. Just a dozen episodes of nothing going on.
Ralph had to go through all of them. Yeah. Each day he had to go through them. So.
Yeah. This is the final episode. I'm not tired of it. I loved it when it was good. But this last batch has just been getting increasingly rather poor, and it's just not a good way to end up this batch. As you remember, it was basically we were left off with the fact that Nosy Rosie, the nosy neighbor, finds out from Randolph, her husband, who has been eavesdropping in the closet at Pastor Rufus's, that his ex male lover Chuck has the package.
Right.
And then R. Kelly tells us in his commentary, by the way, it's up to the listener to figure out what the package is. Well, he's in the hospital coughing and dying, so...
And he's gay.
He's gay, so I can only imagine R. Kelly in his infinite...
wisdom.
wisdom and compassion has given his gay character AIDS. So Rosie leaves a message for Myrna and Odell, who happens to be the mother and father of Sylvester.
Okay.
Leaves a message for them on their answering machine.
Randolph, will you shut the hell up?
Myrna, this is Rosie. Call me back, I gotta tell you something about the pastor.
Old big mouth ass woman, I shall never told your ass that shit.
Randolph, shut up.
So she's trying to spread the rumor. Meanwhile, the rumor's is spreading like wildfire. And Gwen, who is Sylvester's husband, your wife, you remember.
Right.
Calls Kathy, her friend, who her husband Sylvester slept with.
Right.
Who is married to Pastor Rufus.
Right.
And breaks the news to her about the fact that her husband's boyfriend has the package.
Hello, Kathy. Gwendolyn, how you doing, girl? Have you heard anything about this package? What package, girl? Tell me what you're talking about. Rufus, your husband, the package. Overheard that he got the package. Where you hear that from?
Yeah. And here we go. The remainder of the chapter is just people calling each other on the phone.
Really?
Talking about the package.
About the package.
That's all they ever say is
the package.
All they do.
And he thinks he's being real sneaky with this, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's really, it's very covert.
It's witty.
Myrna calls Rosie back because Rosie left her a message on her answering machine.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, the package, Myrna. I can't believe he got the package, Myrna. Rosie, are you sure about this?
Yep.
Well, tell me who told you this.
I told her.
Randolph, get off the damn line.
Don't you tell me to get off the line.
Yeah, it's a marriage made in heaven.
So now Gwen calls her husband Sylvester because she knows that Sylvester slept with her friend Kathy, who is married to Pastor Rufus, who had the boyfriend, Chuck, who's got the package.
Right. Yeah.
Sylvester, hey, baby, what's good? We gotta talk. Baby, let me call you back in 10 minutes. No, Sylvester, we gotta talk right now. Okay, okay, what's going on? Have you heard about this package? Now, Gwendolyn, baby, I know what you're thinking. That wasn't a drug deal. That was just... I'm not talking about that kind of package. I'm talking about the pastor. The pastor. Listen to me.
Yeah. A lot of confusion there.
Is this supposed to be some sort of a commentary on the stigma against homosexuality in the black neighborhoods or the stigma against condoms in the black neighborhoods? I mean, is he making a social statement here, Ralph?
He's our Kelly.
I'm
are
just
you
asking.
Freaking high?
No.
I'm asking what you think is going on with this whole story.
He's out. He's out. And he made up the package, and now he's got people talking on the phone for 5 minutes about the package.
Yeah.
So, Kathy leaves a message for Sylvester because she used to sleep with him when he was trapped in the closet that time.
Right.
But she heard from his wife, Gwendolyn, that her husband may have the package. So she's concerned and now is calling Sylvester, leaving him a message.
Sylvester, this is Kathy. I'm trying to get in touch with you. When you get a chance, call me back. It's very important. Here's my new number.
Yeah, well, at least now we're getting the messages left on people as well as people's phone conversations during this chapter.
That's
because
good.
Right after that, Kathy actually gets through to Sylvester.
Oh, good.
Hello? Hello, Sylvester. It's Kathy. What the hell is going on? And what's up with this room? I'm hearing about some package. Now just calm down. I'm trying to figure it out myself. But I haven't talked to Rufus. Yeah. Well, you better call me as soon as you hear something else.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it gets worse. Gwen, Sylvester's wife, calls James the cop, who we haven't seen since episode 11.
That's right.
James the cop was the guy that she was having an affair with behind Sylvester's back.
Ah.
And if you remember correctly, James the cop was also married to big fat white Bridget, who was having an affair behind his back with Big Man the Midget.
Right.
Remember?
Cherry pie.
So Gwen now is calling James the cop.
Okay.
Who thinks their relationship is over, but that's not why Gwen's calling.
Hello, James. Gwen, yesterday you said we were through. Yeah, we are. But I think there is something that ought to tell you. Yeah, what is that? I got a friend named Kathy who slept with Sylvester. Now Kathy got a husband. He's a pastor. Slept with a guy named Chuck. What the
Yeah, indeed. What the F indeed. So now Twan catches word of the rumor that Rufus's boyfriend Chuck has come down with the package, and so Twan's first reaction is to call his brother-in-law, Sylvester.
Yeah, what up, Twan? Sylvester, I heard on the radio about this motherfucking pastor, and talking about he got the package. I know. Man, I will bust a calm your ass down. This is a pastor we talking about, and besides, you ain't even got no gun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Sylvester saying, no, you really shouldn't shoot somebody just because they have AIDS.
Right.
It's that you don't have a gun, really, so it's not even worth thinking about.
How did it get on the radio? How did it go from guys calling their friends to it ending up on the air?
Well, it's a big story.
Sure.
When you got the package.
Sure. Whatever that is.
Yes. That's what gives me the idea of being that maybe R. Kelly isn't trying to make a social statement since one of his characters wants to shoot the dude just because he has AIDS.
All right.
And as I mentioned, Gwendolyn, who is the wife of Sylvester,
yes,
who was having an affair with Kathy, her good friend, was having an affair in her own right with James the cop, who was married to Bridget, who we found out at a later point, Bridget was having an affair with a midget named Big Man.
Right.
So now Bridget, who we haven't seen since episode 12,
okay,
comes back out of the woodwork because she's concerned, and so she feels an obligation to call her lover, the midget Big Man, and explain to him that she has some concerns about her own health.
Hello, Big Man. Bridget, is that you? Yes. And I've got something to tell you.
What?
Well, it's hard to explain. Bridget, to me.
Hearing Bridget makes me long for simpler, better times in the Trapped in the Closet saga.
You weren't kidding. It's all phone calls for the rest of the chapter.
And it ends up with Pimp Lucius.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Here we go.
Who was talking to Bishop Craig, his partner in Pimpdom.
about how to handle a certain hoe who's not behaving well on the streets when he gets another call that interrupts his conversation. And, well, you can imagine what it's about.
Yeah, Bishop Craig, I tell a hoe like this. I don't need you, bitch. I let the welfare feed you. You understand what I'm saying? Hold on, pimp. Got a phone call. Hello? Hey, this bitch. Who, when, and where got what? The package. The package.
And Pimp Lucius just stutters our way out of the final chapter at the tail end.
And that's the end?
Before we see the dreaded words, the three words I was hoping not to see at the end of this.
To be and continued.
To be continued.
Wow.
Well, thank God that's over.
Yeah.
The package. The package. The
R. Kelly, genius.
The
freaking pimp loot.
So would you rather be ugly and smart or pretty and dumb if you could choose which one you wanted to be?
And those are the only two choices?
Those are your choices.
Pretty and dumb.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with that.
It does seem to get you further these days, doesn't it? In fact, it got this young woman all the way to Miss Teen South Carolina and competing in this Friday's Miss Teen USA pageant. Her name is Lauren Caitlin Upton, and this is the YouTube sensation video of the weekend. And if you haven't seen this yet, we are putting it up at krock.com. You can get it on YouTube if you just look for Miss Teen South Carolina. This is one of the questions that she fielded on stage during the interview portion of the pageant.
We begin with South Carolina.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
I've heard that four times now. I don't know what she's trying to say.
Where was any of that coming from? How did South Africa and Iraq even get into her answer?
I mean, I guess she was talking about geography, you know, and where stuff is, but I don't know what that meant.
Apparently, the fact that only a few people, like, what was the statistic? One in five people can't identify? Apparently, that's not as bad as South Africa and Iraq. So we're still better than them, and we need to help them.
Is that what she meant?
I have no idea.
By the way,
that was amazing.
I don't know.
If you've never seen a map in your life, by the way, you ought to be able to find South Africa. I mean, there's a clue right in the name of the country.
Yeah,
that should be the easiest country in the world to find.
Yeah.
But her whole U.S. American, that whole thing, I mean, what is the deal? I'm just sad she didn't win. We'd have a whole year of her. She came in fourth.
You do have to see her, though. You can go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean page at the video link, and it's got subtitles so you can have any idea what she's talking about.
Do we think she'll do fine because she's so hot?
Probably.
Probably.
Scorching
yeah.
Hot. Probably.
Yeah,
she is scorching hot. That's true.
This is going to hurt her a bit.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Dave Duchovny. His new show is Californication, and we'll talk to him next.
Before we go to Mr. Duchovny on the phone to talk about his Showtime hit Californication, I have to decide, Kevin, do I hate his character Hank or do I love his character Hank? It's so hard to decide sometimes.
Oh, I think you love it.
Really?
I
love him?
I think so.
Okay. Dave, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Sean Kerouac, my friend. How are you?
You love me.
You we love. We're just not sure about Hank.
Yeah.
Love Hank.
Hey,
Hank needs your love. He needs some producer, man love.
Producer Lightning says you are on the set right now. You're filming Californication right now, Dave?
I am. I'm standing right next to a very fragrant dumpster because that's the best place I can get reception, of course.
Nice.
Oh, that's no good. So,
for you guys, anything.
We appreciate that. What have you been on? It's been, what, just two or three episodes so far? Is that right?
Two episodes. The third one airs tonight at 10:30.
Gotcha. And has there anyone on the show that you haven't had sex with yet?
His ex.
Yeah, my ex and the executive producer.
David, explain the character Hank to people who haven't had a chance to watch your show yet on Showtime.
Well, he's come to Hollywood from New York with his family because they're turning a novel that he's written into a movie, and it's all gone wrong. They've made a huge blockbuster movie out of it, but it's terrible. And he's lost his family because he's kind of succumbed to the temptations of Hollywood, and he's no longer writing. So he's a writer who doesn't write, who has a family that he loves that is not with him, and he's basically just drowning himself in booze and drugs and women. And am I making it sound funny? Because it's funny.
It is funny.
It is funny.
It
yeah.
is funnier than it sounds. Yeah, I mean, when you got caught throwing up on the painting, and
yeah.
that was an amazing scene. But
yeah,
the scene that I have a clip from is the reason I knew I was going to like it. And it was the first episode. It's when you went into the church to talk to God about your problem with writing.
Yes.
And the nun came walking up to you, and she had a solution for you.
Well, normally I would suggest a bunch of Our Fathers or a couple Hail Marys, but I don't think that's going to get it done. What about a blow?
Hmm?
A blow? Would that make you feel any better?
From you?
Well, something tells me it's not going to itself, Hank.
Sweet baby Jesus. Hank is going to hell.
I knew right then I was in.
And you know, that's how the show begins.
It's even funnier when it's blow beep. When it's
yeah,
a blow beep.
Exactly.
And in fact, from now on with my wife, I'm going to say, you know, I'd really like a blow beep.
Hey, Dave, one of the things that I think is really interesting, and I think we're starting to see more of it show up in the episodes, is that your guy hates Los Angeles. He's a New Yorker, but he has to stay in our town because his wife and kid, or his ex-girlfriend and kid are here. And you're a native New Yorker who moved out yeah. here to Southern California. I mean, is there something to it being difficult for New Yorkers to adapt to and grow to love Los Angeles?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think there definitely for me, you know, especially now that I'm raising children and I think back to the childhood that I had in New York, it was certainly much more independent. And I want that for them because I was able pretty much to go out and it'd be, you know, go to the playground or whatever by myself after the age of 10 or 11 and really have kind of an independent life away from my parents. But here in L.A., you know, you have to be driven everywhere. So
right.
everything is kind of supervised for kids, and it's not the fault of the city, but it's the lifestyle. And, you know, I would want my kids to be able to get a better sense of independence, and I think New York City can give them that. But, you know, culturally, no, I don't have the problems that Hank has with it. My wife, on the other hand, is always trying to move back to New York.
Oh, interesting. And I thought it was also really, I mean, it was just a quick line, but it was really one of the things I like about the show is you really are making a lot of, besides seeing all the boobs, which is the best part of the show, but you really are making a lot of comments on society, particularly in Los Angeles. And you talked about what women are, what is done to women in L.A. as if somehow the city is trying to destroy them. What do you think Hank means by that?
Well, you know, I think it's not just Los Angeles, but it's our culture in general. You know, it's no secret we see all these images of perfect-looking women in magazines and on television and in movies. And I think, and again, I go back to the fact that I'm raising a daughter myself, and I think I don't want her to have to think that she has to live up to this kind of impossible perfection.
Right.
And I say this because I've worked with these people who are supposedly perfect, and they ain't. that's the job of hundreds of makeup, hair, stylists. You know, there's a lot of deep in work that goes into making these people appear perfect that these poor suckers on the street have to try to live up to, and they don't have thousands of dollars for stylists and makeup and hair and everything like
right.
that. So it's kind of a big ruse, and I as a father, I certainly don't want to hold up these pictures to my kid and say, you know, try to be like that, because it's an impossibility. It's an illusion. It's a fantasy.
Speaking of your kid, your daughter, does she watch this show?
Are you kidding?
He is. He is kidding. It sounds to me like Hank needs to start banging some really ugly chicks just to get the message across that it's okay.
I think that's a very good point, and I'm going to bring that up with
sure.
Tom Kapanos, the creator, right now.
You will. Dave's character does have sex with every girl that walks the street. And,
when we were kind of creating the character in the show, I thought it's not attractive for a guy to be on the make all the time. And Hank is not really on the make. I just think of it as a guy who can't say no.
Right.
So it's like. And it seems that if somebody isn't on the make, if they're kind of laid back about it, it seems like it kind of just falls into his lap. And much like the character in, you know, the 70s movie Shampoo, he's just, like, unable to say no. So that's why he ends up like this. But he's not, like, trying to sleep with every woman he sees. It just kind of falls into his lap.
It is funny, though, and I'm wondering if you've heard anything from people who have written best-selling books. I mean, authors don't really get the groupies that, you know, actors and musicians get. I mean, it seems a little unrealistic.
You got to figure it's a fantasy of, again, Tom Capano's fantasy of he's the writer of the show. So I think writers always fantasize that,
sure.
that they're going to have these rock star lifestyles. But you know, in effect, I'm sure that writers have their handful of groupies
they're not as hot as the ones on your show.
Well, it's television. It's fantasy.
Exactly.
I'll tell you, if you don't have Showtime, this is the 1-2 punch of Californication and Weeds.
Yes.
On Monday nights. Both great shows. And both certainly worth getting Showtime for. I just love Monday nights because of that.
I do remember, Dave, when we had John a couple of months ago when you were promoting your TV set movie that was in theaters, I remember you saying, yeah, guys, I got a Showtime series coming up. And I just thought, well, that's, you know, who knows what that's going to be like. But I'm so happy for you that the show turned out as well as it did and has such a buzz on it, because it is awesome to have you back on the TV, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I couldn't be happier that, you know, when you do a pilot, I did the pilot and I thought, well, that's a great character. We made a great half hour of television, but you never know how the actual show is going to turn out, much like the X-Files. You know, the pilot was fine, but I never imagined that it was going to be as great as it became. And I really think that the year of shows that we put together for this show are fantastic, so I couldn't be happier either.
If it goes 8 or 9 seasons, you're going to find yourself trying to, like hell, to get out like you did with X-Files.
I probably will, but I'll also have to get out of a girdle by that point as well.
All right. It's called Californication. New episodes air Monday nights at 10:30, right after Weeds on Showtime, and then they do repeat throughout the week. Dave Duchovny, one of our favorites, man. We always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Take care, guys.
Go back to work.
Bye.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Why does it make you angry?
Because, you know, it's my good friend.
Wow. Did you have a stroke?
That was a moment with Ralph.
Let's see how Ralph recovers with this edition of the Showbiz Beat on the world famous K-Rock.
You know who likes the Batman TV series, the 60s Batman TV series?
You?
Me and these girls.
Oh!
Who are those girls?
What do you got there?
Those are nude models wearing various pieces of costumes from the 60s Batman.
Doesn't mean
TV
they love
show.
It, dude. It just means they're models that were
hired.
She
really loves it. The one who's holding her Batarang in front of her boobs, she really loves it.
What magazine is that, Rob?
It's the latest issue of Femme Fatales magazine, which has got 6 pages in here of smoking hot babes wearing Batman and Robin and Catwoman costumes.
It's a myth. There's no one hot that's into that show.
Apparently you're wrong,
myth.
My friend. Because I'm looking at it right here, right now. And
hired
I need,
actresses, hired models.
I need a moment with myself. Oh, look at that. Look at that. It's good.
Hired model. Yeah. It's a model.
I'd like to hire them for something
hey,
else.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
That's what I'd say to him. That's what I'd say if I had them. Femme Fatale magazine.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Ah, Beam, were you watching the Teen Choice Awards Sunday?
I did not watch that.
How could you miss it?
Too many screaming kids. I can't handle it.
How could you miss it? High School Musical 2 was just all over the place.
To win everything?
I know.
It scored a Choice TV movie. And Zac Efron was dubbed Choice Male Hottie.
Oh, my God.
I did vote for him. Don't get me wrong. I did send him my ballot. But what I'm saying is that the 2 hours of just screaming at the top of their lungs kids in the audience just is a deal breaker for
Vanessa
me.
Hudgens won for a Choice Music Breakout Artist Female.
Okay.
Hairspray won for Choice Summer Movie, Comedy, or Musical. And Choice Comedian was Dane Cook. The TV show only Bean could like, by the way. This Teen Choice Awards.
Yeah.
Hosted by Hilary Duff and Nick Cannon this week. And congratulations to other winners, including the Shop Boys, Kelly Clarkson, Avril Lavigne, and Fergie, who really, by all counts, gave the most emotional acceptance speech of the night.
Fergie?
Yeah. She said, "This award isn't paid for. This award isn't traded for favors. This is picked by you," she said while tearing up in front of the teen crowd. "It's picked by you, and you have zits," she said. No, she didn't say that, but they do.
I'm glad she's so happy about it, because it's likely the only kind of award she's ever going to win.
How dare you? How dare you come at Fergie like that?
That's right. Don't you know her London Bridge is falling down?
Oh, sure is.
Sad news coming out of Santa Monica this weekend. Apparently, early yesterday afternoon, Owen Wilson was transported by paramedics to the hospital. According to Star Magazine and the National Enquirer, so consider the source, it was due to a failed suicide attempt.
Wow. Mm.
National Enquirer says that Owen had slit his left wrist and taken unidentified pills in an attempt to kill himself. When discovered by a family member, 911 was called, and he was transported to St. John's Health Center in Santa Monica before being transferred to Cedars-Sinai Hospital to receive detox treatment. Apparently, Owen's brother Luke was seen leaving the Beverly Hills Treatment Center. It's giving some credence to those myths, so rumors, rather. So, yeah, we'll be following that, but sad, tragic news if it's true.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what he would have to be that depressed about.
I know.
He's a good-looking guy who's got a big career. And Kate Hudson keeps yanking his chain. Maybe that's what it is. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Superbad was number one with $18 million. Then came The Bourne Ultimatum, Rush Hour 3, Mr. Bean's Holiday, War, The Nanny Diaries, The Simpsons Movie, Stardust, Hairspray, and The Invasion, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I saw that Superbad on Friday, you guys.
Oh, you
finally
did.
Saw it, huh? None of you ever said it was so funny. Not one time has it ever been mentioned on this show that that movie was funny. Why didn't you ever bring it up?
Stop it and shut up.
We said that a lot.
We said it often.
We should have had those guys on from that movie to talk about it.
I said it was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Did have them in.
Well, next time, how about a heads up for your pal Bean? That's all I'm saying.
You were here when we talked to him.
Cops raided an Arizona house owned by rapper DMX on Friday.
No.
They found a stockpile of guns.
Oh, good.
And a dozen, in their words, distressed pit bulls.
That can't be good. No.
Apparently, DMX had some fighting pits on his property. Here's just an open letter to anyone who's listening. Hey, blacks, stop fighting dogs.
Is it just blacks?
No.
The
whites
not.
Do it down
it's
south,
everybody.
Too. But
yeah.
The blacks are getting caught at it.
They are, yeah.
So they should stop.
They should stop doing it or stop getting caught?
Both.
Okay.
The funny thing is, they don't know where he is, DMX. They would like to interview him in Arizona. But apparently, he's hiding out in New York City after a Manhattan judge ordered him to fork over $242,000 to a fashion company.
Ouch.
Which had hired him to plug, and this is sort of ironic, a clothing line for dogs.
Oh, no.
Maybe they should wear, like, little flak jackets and armor and helmets and stuff like that, because he's apparently got him fighting on his property in Arizona.
Ralph, do you watch the Bill Maher HBO show?
I do when I can. I haven't caught it. I didn't catch it this week.
Just came back. First episode of the new season was on Friday, and Bill had a pretty funny line. He said, at least if there's any good news out of this, the Michael Vick and now the DMX dogfighting story, it's that we've come a long way since the 60s, because now the blacks are attacking the dogs instead of the other way around.
See
what he did there?
So back then, let the dogs go out and attack the African-Americans, and now it's reverse. Was
right.
His line. Might have been funnier when he said it.
Did he get a laugh when he said it?
he did. He had a more receptive audience, apparently, than I did.
Ralph, you were making some jokes before Bean killed the momentum of the show.
Yes, I know.
Sorry. You were making a joke about they should make flak jackets and camo. That clothing line makes pseudo bulletproof vests for dogs and bling and camouflage clothing.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
Nice. Every dog needs that. Needs bling.
How do I do it? How do I come up with this stuff that actually exists in the world? Camo for dogs.
Camo, like camo gear and like a fit.
Like
one of
thug wear for
one
dogs.
One of their products is a mock bulletproof vest.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Do they have little doggy guns for them to carry,
I don't
too?
Know.
Little doggy Glocks? I think I'll live in a dog glue.
Exactly. And it comes full circle.
Classic comedy trigger word, dog glue.
Exactly. Thank you, Ralph.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Yeah. I don't even know if I should go on. Maybe I'll just stop here. What do you think?
Well, I think you need to make up your mind one way or the other.
can I think about it?
We can sit here in neutral.
Can I think about it?
Either stop or don't.
I think. You don't want to give me a minute to think about it?
No, not really.
No?
No.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman's 55 years old today. Chandra Wilson, she plays Dr. Miranda Bailey on that Grey's Anatomy TV program, which is very popular with women and with Bean. 38 years old today. Tony Canal from No Doubt is 37. And Sarah Chalk, who plays Dr. Elliot Reed on Scrubs and was also Second Becky. She's had her nickname for a long time. Her friends used to call her Second Becky.
Second Becky.
Yeah, she's was Becky on The Roseanne Show. 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're telling me that Doto, K-Rock listener Doto,
is on the phone right now from Asia. That's what you're telling me?
What I'm telling you is we have had thousands of guests on this show. None of them are as hard to track down as our man Doto.
No kidding.
It's true. Well, he is the international man of mystery, Kevin. You got to remember, he has a very complicated life.
Doto, good morning.
How are you doing, Kevin Bean?
It has been forever, A. And B, how can it possibly be so hard to track you down?
Yeah, because I don't get it. It's because in Asia I've been pretty busy. I've been in and out. I've been traveling, and I'm in some form of a jewelry business, just import exporting.
What?
I'm sorry. Did you say you're in jewelry?
Something like jewelry, family business, but importing and exporting jewelry.
What do you mean something like? Is it jewelry or isn't it jewelry?
What?
What do you mean something like jewelry? Is it jewelry or not?
Yeah, we do import and export jewelry.
Okay, all right.
I thought you were doing education.
Mm-hmm.
We thought you were teaching English.
Because I did it last year, but at least I can do a versatile. I pretty much can do a versatile of things, Kevin.
Oh, so you can do a lot of other stuff.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Now, Doto, are you? I mean, have you moved? What city are you in? First of all, are you in Singapore?
Yeah, last week I was in Singapore. Now I'm in Saigon. In a couple of days, I'm going back to Hong Kong because I mainly live in Hong Kong.
Are you ever coming back to America, or are you now living in the Far East?
I live in the Far East quite a few times, Kevin Bean, because I also went to international school in the Far East when I was a teenager.
Right.
I went to Bangkok International School. It was an American school.
Now, your dad has a lot of businesses, I gather.
Yeah.
And that's how you're doing all this traveling?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to do in Saigon when you get there? Oh, no, you're in Saigon now.
Hong Kong.
Yeah, I'm in Saigon now. I'm at the vacation home, my vacation home, Kevin Bean.
What, you have a vacation home?
Wow. Yeah. How is Doto doing better than we are?
Wait, you have a vacation home, your home?
Yeah, it's a condominium, Kevin Bean.
Condominium, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Doto, how long has it been since you've been on the Kevin and Bean Show? Do you know?
Well, yeah, since maybe January of 2007, maybe about 6 to 8 months ago, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Okay.
And you've pretty much been in the Far East since then?
Yes, yeah, I've been in the Far East for about four to five months now.
Okay.
I know it's been a long time, Kevin Bean.
Been a very long time. Now, Doto, usually there's some sort of an update about your romantic love life. How have you been doing with the ladies over there?
Yeah, but they don't speak. But in Singapore, they speak English pretty good. But these Chinese girls are pretty aggressive, Kevin Bean. So that might be a little bit too overwhelming. So do you think it might be better to find someone over in Thailand, Kevin Bean, that might be a little bit more conservative? What do you think, Kevin Bean?
What are the Chinese girls all over you?
But no, I mean they're very intellectual and they're on top. They know what's going on. They're pretty much the same as American girls.
Yeah, you better go with Thailand.
Well, Thailand, they're a lot cheaper, too, right, Doe?
What?
I say in Thailand that you can get a girl a lot cheaper than you can in Singapore, right?
Unfortunately, yes, Kevin Bean.
Unfortunately. Yeah. When was the last time you actually had a hooker, Doe?
Maybe 4 to 5 years ago, Kevin Bean.
4 to 5 years?
Wow. How about that?
Wow.
Now, Doe, I know you've had some trouble with the law in some of your travels. Have you been staying out of trouble? Have you been a good boy?
Yes. To be honest with you, I've been pretty much staying out of trouble, Kevin Bean, watching my mouth and just watching what I say and just keeping cool, Kevin Bean. And most of the time in Singapore, I just like to read. And there's one book I like to recommend to the K-Rock listeners.
Yes, please.
It's called The World is Flat. It's by Thomas Friedman. It talks about how fast the world and technology is changing and how a lot of stuff is outsourcing to China and India, Kevin Bean.
All right, so I can scratch off.
I think the K-Rock listeners should at least look at that book because it has a lot of good stuff. It's by Thomas.
I can scratch off Ask Doto for a book recommendation now. I was just getting to that.
That has been a very popular bestseller over here for about a year, Doto. You made a good choice there. A lot of people are enjoying that book.
Yeah. I mean, you know about that book, Kevin?
Well, of course. Are you kidding? I can quote it.
Well, Doto, is there anything that you need to tell your fans back home in America who haven't had the opportunity to listen to you for so long?
I really want to make it in show business, Bean.
Yeah, how's that going?
What?
How's that going? How's making it in showbiz going?
So I guess I'll have to do more stuff. Like Kevin,
well, I'm just asking, are you doing anything?
To be honest with you, I haven't been getting into it as I should have.
Well, then yes, you should do more. I mean, if your answer is nothing, then yeah.
Now, it is weird that being in the import-export business of jewelry doesn't further your show business career. I can't understand what's holding you back, Doto.
Do they have, like, open mic nights or something like that wherever you are?
You know what? They do have it more in Singapore, but in Thailand they do have it, but it's in Thai. But I don't speak Thai, Kevin Bean. I think I will have a better chance in Singapore.
Okay, well, you should do some open mic nights in Singapore.
Hmm. Now, Kevin, I might stop by Seattle on my way back. So
you're welcome to stop by to my house. Please do.
Yeah. And how much am I paying for free? Is it?
Oh, it's
where
free.
Am I staying, Bean?
Oh, it's free. You can stay with Bean as long as you want. He loves to have house guests.
Yeah, but I just need, because I might like to drop out, because I know the weather's pretty nice. It's cool, so I just need to know where to stay in Seattle, Kevin.
Well, listen, Doto, if you are serious about coming to Seattle, I would be happy to get together with you and have a meal and catch up. I would be happy to do that. So you just email me and we'll work that out. You know, your friend the King of Mexico was just up here visiting me last weekend.
Okay.
Well, listen, when are you coming back to the United States?
I might be coming back maybe 2 or 3 months from now, Kevin. Maybe around November or December.
That was Dean. So you're going to be gone for almost a full year.
Yeah.
All right. There was some unclear, unfinished business about this email that you sent to us where you claimed that you killed a guy. And then you wrote back and said you were just kidding.
You know, I was pretty upset. I was pretty upset with the guy, Kevin Bean. At least I know how to control my anger thanks to Bean's advice.
Bean gave you advice that helped you control your anger.
Yeah, for me to control my emotions.
So when you weren't not controlling your emotions, did you kill a guy or no?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, that settles it.
What do you mean, probably not?
Kevin, I think based on our track record with you, me, and Unsolved Mysteries, I think the less we know about this, the better, to tell you the truth.
The advice Bean gave me, that was on May 27th or May 28th of this year. That's about 3 months ago.
How do you remember the date Bean gave you advice?
You know why? Because every time when I read emails, I do keep track of who sends and what dates I get the emails.
Then why is it so unbelievably hard to get a hold of you? We write you emails. We tell you what day. You write back. You say Tuesday. We don't know if that's Tuesday or Thursday. Very confusing.
Turns out it was Monday.
Okay, good chatting with you.
Listen, Doe, we have to go, but we are delighted to catch up with you, and I hope it's not so long before the next time we chat.
I really want to make it, Kevin and Bean.
I know you do, and we can see that by your import-export business.
Yeah.
Well, Doto, will you keep in touch? Drop us an email. Let us know how you're doing, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
All right, that was Bean.
I'm Bean, right. Actually. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Doe.
Bye.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay, bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to email him your address. I cannot wait for him to show up at your house.
I don't know that I just want him to show up. I'd prefer some advance warning.
No, just a impromptu drop-in by Doe. Doe and Bean sitting in a tree. That's going to be good times right there.
I think I am more baffled by Doto now than before we had him on the phone.
Well, that's always the case. That's why we like him.
Yeah, that's true. Your chance to win your tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion with Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, and more coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning. Also an update from Tom Cruise. First, though, this is an interesting survey. The British chain Ann Summers, what would the equivalent be? Well, an erotic retail chain, like the Hustler Store or something like that. They did a survey recently of people in their store, and they wanted to find out how many people have been injured during sex. 1 in 3 say that they have at some point been injured while having sex.
1 in 3?
Most of them were routine injuries, things you might expect, rug burns, you know, to your knees, muscle pulls, hitting your head on the headboard, that sort of thing. But they went a little bit deeper into it, and they found that there are about 1 million different ways that people can get hurt. And it's not all just falling out of bed. And I love these stories. And every once in a while, we open up the phones and ask for you for your sex injury stories at 1-800-520-1067. And in the past, we've had people who have been doing it in a car, and then they get stuck in that position, or some guy's back goes out, and they have to drive to the emergency room just so he can get straightened out. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that can happen to you.
Lisa, did you have one?
Well, rug burns, of course. No. You're thinking of my self-defense injury. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, I thought you were, never mind.
I think you're thinking of.
I think he's thinking of, and I don't think you got injured, but I think he's thinking of the car accident that you caused, where your fellow ran into the telephone pole.
Oh,
That's what I was thinking of.
But I don't know that you got...
But he didn't get injured, and I didn't get injured.
Right, but you ran into a telephone pole.
We did run into a telephone pole.
Because that's no telephone pole?
Because he was distracted, shall we say, by
that's
you.
That's true.
That is what I was talking about, yes.
Okay.
One in three, though. One in three people injured. That's top of the mountain. You're having the greatest time in the world, and then next second, pain.
I got to tell you, he's lucky he didn't lose a tip.
Oh, man.
Could have happened.
I'll also say that in this survey, there's a whole chapter on people, and I don't know if this counts as to what we're talking about, but people whose injury have resulted in perhaps putting foreign objects in places where they don't belong.
Oh, I'm sure that's a major one. Remember a long time ago we talked to that guy who was in the emergency room for putting a carrot up his ass? Remember that?
Yes, I certainly do. It's one of the all-time greats.
He was in there to like get it removed surgically or something, and we talked to him. It was unbelievable, yeah.
Here's a list from just one emergency room of some of the foreign bodies that have been extracted, okay? We're talking about a penknife, an aerosol deodorant spray can, a blue plastic tumbler, a plastic bag containing money and marijuana.
Excellent.
How about this one? A plastic packet containing fish hooks.
What?
In a million years, would that be the plan to put up you?
Why?
I can't imagine. Maybe it's all that's available.
Don't care.
Oh, my God.
Flashlight, broomstick, every kind of vibrator you can imagine. The cap from an aerosol can, a piece of wire, a piece of pipe wrapped with wire, an iron bar. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on.
God.
For things that have been stuck. But I think we're looking for stories of you personally were involved in having sex. And like Kevin says, top of the mountain, things couldn't be going any better. And then the next thing you know, preferably some sort of searing pain. Now, this doesn't count as accidental injury, but it is worth mentioning a woman in the news last week in Gilbert, Arizona, who had been served with divorce papers by her husband and was very, very sad about it. And the couple cried together. And as sometimes happens in emotional situations, they ended up having sex. I'm divorcing you. Oh, that's so sad, but I still love you. Let's do it. So she's having sex with him. She's on top of him, reaches into a duffel bag, pulls out a knife, and jams it right in his chest.
Oh, I don't think we want those, though.
Stabs him, right, facing attempted homicide charges, stabbed her estranged husband in the chest with a kitchen knife while they were having sex. That's an injury you really can't see coming.
Oh, my God. No, accidental is much funnier.
I think so. I think you're right about that.
So we're looking for accidents that happened during sex. We'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Next.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Yeah, you got that one right today, Kevin. It's 1-800-520-1067.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Kevin Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. We're taking your calls on sex injuries. A sex chain of stores in Britain did a survey recently to find that one in three people have been injured during sex.
And if you have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent. A really bad parent. You are seriously f***ed up. You with your illegitimate kids and your bad judgment and whatnot.
Let's start with line six. Let's start in Anaheim today and get Greg on the air here on K-Rock. Greg, of course, we have to be very, very careful. We cannot describe the actual sex act that was going on, but in terms as much as you can, let us know what happened to you, all right?
In terms of pain, it was excruciating.
What happened, dude?
Well, let's say we were hitting round two, and she was on top, and what ended up happening was she went a little too much out.
Little okay.
And broke it off.
The unit wasn't too lined up. When she went to come back down, it literally bent in half in a 45-degree angle. And
did you go to the emergency room immediately?
Had to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was it actually fractured?
No, it was. I forgot what they termed it, but it was just really painful. It was almost like it left like a. It's hard to say. It just left like a purple, blue.
Yeah,
bruise.
Like a bruise, right?
Sure.
Now it's not a bone though, right?
No, it's I learned it was cartilage.
Yeah.
Oh, so, dude. But, all right. Let me ask you this. How long after that did you have to wait before you were able to have sex again?
Oh. A day or two.
This is hardcore.
That didn't stop me.
A little alcohol, you can do anything. All right. Thank you, Greg,
exactly.
for the call.
Ouch, by the way. Ouch.
Ouch is right. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Paul in Fullerton. Paul apparently was drinking. Good morning, Paul.
Hey.
We have to be careful not to describe the sex, but what happened?
All right, well, I was going at it on top of the bed, standing up with myself against the wall, and she decided that she was going to turn me around. And by the way, my bed is not low to the ground. It's like 3 or 4 feet off the ground.
Right.
And as I turn, I feel a loud thwack and a searing pain on my forehead, and I black out. And I guess I fell off the bed backwards and hit my head on the nightstand. And when I wake up, I go to the mirror, and there's a nice red line across my forehead as I'm bleeding. And all I hear the whole time is her laughing maniacally. And as I wake up, I'm bleeding from the forehead with a nice scar that I get to explain to my parents the next morning.
Good times.
Yeah, very nice. Good times. Nearly as painful as the last guy that just called me,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, but still, that's still quite a story, Paul. I mean, you start out having sex thinking this is a pretty good deal. Next thing you know, you're blacked out with a head injury. I mean, that's not what you expected going in. That's rough.
Certainly doesn't seem good, I'll tell you that. Let's go to, boy, I don't know how we could take that one. Let's go to Scott in Sherman Oaks. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, guys.
You got cut.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is blah, blah, blah to the last two guys. until you've had sutures on your penis from a laceration from a girl wearing braces.
Oh! No. Braces. They had to put stitches in your... Wow.
Yeah, three stitches. Yeah, imagine.
Oh, I'd rather not.
Oh.
Well, dude, why not wait till they're, I don't know, 16 at least? You know, maybe that's the answer. Stay away from the girls with the braces.
Yeah, lesson learned. I've made peace with myself on that issue.
Oh, my God.
Checking oral hygiene, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you very much for the call.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Well, I know. That's the whole point. I'm saying it's dangerous. All right, let's try Josh down in San Dimas. He's on line 8. This is one. I see what is written up there, but I can't for the life of me understand how it could have happened. Good morning, Josh. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Sexy.
What happened?
Well, you get really drunk and you wake up and you don't really remember everything that happened.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you're laying next to some kind of crazy wild beast that did things to you with her nails that you can't understand.
Right.
Well, I go to stand up and I'm.
So you had like, you had scratches on your back or something?
No, they were on the bottom of my feet. I had weird scratches from her nails on the bottom of my feet.
What are you talking about? Scratches on the bottom of your feet? How does that happen?
I have no idea. You know, I'm really drunk and I'm like limping around. I've got these, you know, blood-drawn scratches on the bottom of my feet, and I'm like, so I go limping away, just, you know, frightened for my life.
You found the crazy one.
I don't know, man.
Did you ask her what happened?
I was kind of freaked out and scared, so I kind of, you know, hobbled away before I could get the question answered.
Were you at her place, or was she at your place?
It was like a party kind of thing.
We met
like in the middle of a, you know, drunken.
So you made a run for it. You basically went to the bathroom and jumped out the window and left.
Made a hobble for it. That's what he
pretty
made.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
What the hell could that possibly have been?
You know, the only thing that I could possibly imagine is that maybe, you know, there was other people in the bed at the same time and there was some other things going on where my feet could have gotten mixed up in someone else's action.
I do. Yes.
I'm a party with you, cowboy.
Thank you, Josh. On the bottom of your feet that drew blood. I don't know. That doesn't seem good.
No.
Don't have sex, because you will get pregnant and die.
That's true.
Don't have sex in the missionary position. Mm-hmm. Don't have sex standing up.
That's right.
Just don't do it. Promise?
Absolutely.
Bet on Ralph. 8:57. Ralph is here with the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Lisa wins sometimes.
She does.
I do.
When was that?
It totally,
was I out that day? I might have been on vacation.
I think Carter was in office.
No, the one before last, I think.
It totally depends on the contestants. Sometimes they're awful and sometimes they're good.
Or the people giving clues.
Sometimes.
Sometimes them too.
Yeah.
Whoever they are.
Stop it.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Superbad continues to be a comic juggernaut. $18 million it made this weekend.
Good for them.
Good enough to make it number one by a long shot. Right after that was The Bourne Ultimatum with $12.4 million, keeping it at number two. Rush Hour 3 was coincidentally third. Huh? See how that all worked out?
Wow.
Mr. Bean's Holiday came in at number four. Then War was number five. The Nanny Diaries turned it at number six. The Simpsons Movie, number seven. Stardust, number eight. Hairspray, number nine. And at number 10, The Invasion.
Hey, Ralph, I wasn't paying attention closely. I thought you said Mr. Bean's Holiday came in fourth.
Surprisingly, a lot of people went to see Mr. Bean's Holiday. Rowan Atkinson, very popular character, that wacky Mr. Bean, that British nut job. He's crazy.
Doesn't say anything, just makes a lot of faces.
He does.
He's talented.
Boy, is Jim Carrey pissed.
Somebody's making faces. I saw an article this week about, I guess it's official now, it's the biggest summer box office in movie history in terms of money made. But a lot of these movies that made huge money, people didn't really like. They were not very passionate about. There's nobody walking around going, wow, that Shrek 3 was one of the best movies I ever saw.
Yeah.
Or that third Pirates of the Caribbean. There's not a lot of passion for some of the movies that people still went out and saw because they were out.
And because the hype was so strong.
Yeah.
You couldn't go anywhere and escape that sort of promotional onslaught from Shrek and certainly Pirates. Although I like Pirates a lot. I know a lot of people
I did too.
But, there was a lot of sequels this year, which always helps the box office because there's a built-in audience that will go to see them just because they enjoyed the other films. And there was a lot of high-profile, high-concept movies like Transformers, which was based on a popular toy line. So a lot of people went to that because they were familiar with the name. So that's the way you get people in the seats, at least the first weekend. You can guarantee a big weekend with a familiar property, and then from then on out, something like Superbad, for example, which no one knew anything about, is getting such word of mouth and such a strong reaction from people that it has what they call legs in the business, which means every week it doesn't do $50 million its first week, but it does 20 the first week, and then 18 the second, and maybe 17 the third. It just makes a lot of money over a long period of time.
Yeah, a movie like that or a Knocked Up or something ends up staying in the top 10 for 3 months because it's good and it gets word of mouth. There aren't very many films like that anymore.
Or Roadhogs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you say Roadhogs?
Which stays in the top 10 for a long time, too, even though no one can explain it.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Enrique Iglesias made a confession to Esquire magazine a few months back in an interview that he wasn't very well endowed.
Really?
And that fact may end up making him quite a bit of cash. The New York Daily News reports that Lifestyles Condoms has offered Enrique $1 million if he will be the spokesperson for their new line of extra small rubbers.
There's no way he'll do that.
No way.
Hello, I am Enrique Iglesias. I'll say I have a tiny ding dong. When I sheathe it in latex, I choose Lifestyles. It makes a snug fit even for someone with a minus penis like me.
Who was the professional athlete that did the Viagra commercials and took all the grief from all of his teammates? Who was it? It was a Texas Ranger or something, was it, Mike? Was it Rafael Palmeiro, maybe?
It was Rafael Palmeiro and also Jeff Gordon. One of the NASCAR guys did, too. But Rafael Palmeiro was the one who caught a lot of crap in baseball.
Didn't Ditka do an ED drug commercial
as
well?
He did. Just not worth it. I know they pay you and all, but it's just not worth the grief.
Bob Dole as well.
That's right.
Well, can I hear about
little
impression?
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got.
Bob Dole. Say his name. That's it.
Nice. Representative for Lifestyle says it takes a real man to admit his shortcomings, and if this Latin crooner can flaunt a fault and still keep Anna Kournikova on his arm, other men are sure to take pride in what they're not packing. So far, Enrique's people have no comment on the offer.
I'm
guessing that he's not keeping her because of. It must be something else.
I think it's the mole. She just has sex with the mole. His mole is hung better than he is.
What the hell is that? That's not sexy. Let me ride your face again, Enrique, with the mole.
That's Hispanic too now?
Yes.
Oh, I thought she was.
She's from the Russian part of Spain.
Okay.
Paul McCartney's got a new buddy. The New York Post says he's been hanging out with Alec Baldwin.
Huh.
Apparently the two of them share a love of all things East Asian.
That's a specialty.
Okay. And they were seen hanging out, grubbing down on Indian food last week, and apparently they've been known to attend yoga classes together.
The whole world's gone gay!
What kind of weird bromance is this?
What the hell?
And how's Alec Baldwin doing yoga, too, by the way?
Good question.
This big fat ass. What position is he getting himself into? This is the relaxing whale. This is the position we call the...
You are a rude, little pig,
I'm sorry, Alec. He gets so touchy when you make fun of his weight.
Very upset.
Ryan Seacrest was not, in fact, the first choice to host the Primetime Emmy Awards. Contrary to the line of BS that Fox and Ryan was feeding us.
They said they couldn't think of anyone else.
Couldn't think of anybody better.
Nobody.
Star Magazine says he was, in fact, the ninth choice after Conan O'Brien passed, as did Jerry Seinfeld, as did Ellen DeGeneres. Chris Rock said no. Drew Carey said pass. Oprah Winfrey, nope. Brad Garrett, I don't think so. And George Lopez, no way.
Okay.
Then they got to Ryan.
Dude, if you're offered anything after George Lopez, just accept that they don't want you.
I can think of nine other people even before they got to number nine.
I was going to say, he wouldn't be in my top 100.
Yeah.
He's a total Gaylord.
No one had Austin Nichols, John of John from Cincinnati, in the DUI pool, so the jackpot rolls over.
The end is near.
Yeah, apparently it is.
End is here.
he was popped pulling a Nicole Richie going the wrong direction down a one-way street.
Wow.
When police pulled him over and found out that he had had a few adult cocktails. Look, the guy just lost his series. Give him a break. I'd be loaded, too, driving the wrong way down a one-way street if I had a TV series on HBO that was canceled.
After one
season. And no one knew what the hell I was talking about. Everybody thought I was a loony with a poodle cut.
You got to remember that Kevin did threaten to beat this dude down if he ever ran into him in person.
True.
He said he was going to punch him in the face if he ever saw him in person.
So a lot of pressure.
Microphones were there when he was talking to the cops.
If my words are yours,
right.
Can you hear my father?
All right, just walk the line, sir.
Can Bill know my father, keeping his eye on me?
Can you please touch your
can
nose?
Can I bone Kai?
Right.
Put and Butchie know my father instead.
Put your head back and
my
walk
father's shy doing his business.
Give me your wallet.
Kai helps my father dump out.
Sir, license and registration.
Bill takes a shot. Shawnee is much improved. Joe is a doubting Thomas.
All right.
Just shot him on the site. It started with that crap.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
John Singleton, director of Boys in the Hoods and other feature films, accidentally struck and killed a woman Friday night.
Oh,
in
no.
his car.
Wow.
Cops say he was not speeding, he was not drunk, on drugs, or otherwise impaired. A 57-year-old woman was walking in the street, but not in a crosswalk, and stepped in front of his car.
Wow.
He hit her with his Lexus SUV and killed her.
Oh, those blacks.
Oh, my God.
That had nothing to do.
What are you...
F and Bean.
Bean at KRock.com.
Oh, that was me. Excuse
yes.
me.
Yes,
who heard
it,
it? Who heard it?
Who played
I'm sorry
it?
I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Ralph. Howard K. Stern is a name we haven't heard in a while. Apparently, he has an early edge in a legal battle to keep a video of Anna Nicole Smith getting her breast implants off the market.
Yeah, who's this doctor and who wants to see that?
Dr. Gerald Johnson is trying to sell a video of her getting her breast implants being put in that he did. He was shooting the video, and he wants to sell it.
He was shooting video that she didn't know of, right? While doing the surgery?
I don't That's know whether she's aware, she was aware of it or not.
I know
some doctors videotape all their procedures in order to make sure that if there's anything goes wrong afterwards, they have some sort of legal recourse. If they get sued for malpractice or something,
sure.
They can say, here's the procedure in the video. You can see this is evidence. So I know some doctors do that as a matter of course.
And then they turn around and try to sell it?
I'm not sure if that is standard operational procedure or not. No.
But like Kevin said, who would want to see that? I mean, there's nothing sexy about that.
Not to me.
Or is there?
Yeah. No. Me.
No, you're right. There isn't.
Oh, those blacks.
Will you stop
come on
it?
Again with that, Ralph?
Stop it, Ralph.
Boobs.
And speaking of blacks, R. Kelly's going ahead with a plan for a fall tour.
Yes.
Despite his upcoming trial for child pornography charges.
That's never going to happen, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think he's safe. He could tour the world several times over before that case comes to trial. This little piece of information came out when Keisha Cole told MTV News that he had asked her to open for him sometime in October. At least that's what she thought he was asking her about. See, he asked her to open for him sometime in October. You have to listen to it, joke people, or you don't get the jokes.
That's what she said?
That's what she said.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I bet you would. And that Anna Nicole video, too, wouldn't you? Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays, Eric Bobo Correa.
Hey.
Percussionist for Cypress Hill. Anyone?
I wish I had a cool nickname like Bobo.
You got it, Bobo.
You have several cool nicknames you just don't know about, Kevin.
Yeah. We don't use them to your face, but they're very cool. He's 39 years old today. Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy is 38. Tony Cannell from No Doubt turns 37 years old today. Sarah Chalk from Scrubs. And also Roseanne is 31 years old today. And Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman, is 55 years old today.
I wear diapers.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 16 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You bringing in records from your personal collection, Kevin? What's going on now? What's up with the Everlast?
Everlast. It's a great song.
Still it like is that. A great song. Just surprised to hear it. Enjoyed it very much.
No,
To blow the dust off it.
So we can play it. All right. As you know by now, the K-Rock Inland Invasion has moved. It is now the L.A. Invasion. It's going to be at the Home Depot Center on September the 15th. There are just a fraction of the arena's tickets available still for sale. But the best way to get in, if you don't buy your tickets, is to win them on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got them for you every morning this week, including right now with a little game we like to call Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to battle concert.
Oh, I like they're all booing at each other.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, let's say good morning to Jason from Sylmar. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jason.
An EMT. And let's say good morning to Ian from Santa Ana. Good morning, Ian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Well, Ralph, you and Lisa are going to be pitted with these contestants on the phone to see who's going to win the tickets for the LA Invasion. You do an excellent job of recapping how the game is played for people who may not have heard it before.
Basically, Lisa and I each have six titles. Lisa of the band Foo Fighters. I have Smashing Pumpkins. We've got six titles of their popular songs. We'll be describing for you those titles without using the words in the titles. If you can determine from our clues what the name is, you shout it out and we move on to the next. If you get stuck on a title, you can say pass and we can come around back to it if we have enough time. We've got 45 seconds to name six titles.
All right. Let's see. Ian, we talked 2 seconds, so you get to pick who you want. Lisa or Ralph?
Ralph.
Okay. All right. Jason?
Yes.
Has Lisa, and Jason is going to go.
Okay. You guys start with Jason?
Yep. Okay. You guys have 45 seconds. You ready?
Let's go.
Here we go.
Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, they're all super.
My hero.
Okay, before you become a pilot, you have to take lessons.
Learn to fly.
This is a type of ape with a tool.
Monkey wrench.
Always lengthy.
Fast.
The opposite of small me is.
Sorry,
Lisa. Keep going. Can't use that.
Keep going.
These are initials that indicate when someone arrives at the hospital and they're no longer alive. Initials.
COA.
Yes.
This is someone who's acting like they're somebody they're not. They're play acting.
Pretender.
Okay. What did we pass on?
You passed on four.
Okay. Oh, out of time. All right. How many did Lisa get? Lisa did very, very well, except for the one that she accidentally gave half of the title away to.
How did I give away half of?
You said me.
So the opposite of little me.
I said the opposite of small me.
Right, but it's
big me is the title.
Oh, I thought it was big you.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, it's big me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I rewrote it and I wrote it down.
Oh, that's
I'm very sorry.
All right, so let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She got 6, though, right?
6, yeah, because she went on to, she picked another title out.
I have 5.
I think I got.
Because she didn't get Everlong, and she
didn't
get Big
Everlong.
Me. So she got My Hero, Learn to Fly, Monkey Wrench, DOA, and 5. The Pretender.
Okay. You did really good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jason.
You did. All right, let's go to Ian in Santa Ana.
Hi.
You got to beat 5. You ready?
All right, Ian, these are Smashing Pumpkins titles.
Okay. Here we go. 45 seconds.
Jay Leno hosts The Blank Show.
Tonight.
Say it twice.
Tonight.
A large spider is a. Big hairy spider.
Arachnid?
No, big hairy spider is a giant one, the size of your hand.
Black Widow.
No. Big honking.
Tarantula.
There you go.
It's a pumpkin song title.
Less than one is.
Zero.
Okay, a projectile that comes out of a gun is a.
Bullet.
And a caterpillar turns into.
Butterfly.
So put it together.
Butterfly for my wing.
Okay.
Bullet for my butterfly wing.
Not yesterday or tomorrow, but.
Today.
The last year in the decade of the 70s.
1979.
You got it.
Yep.
I'm going to say 70s, though. 70 is in the title of 1979. So it sounds to me like we're 5 as well on that contestant.
So then we're tied. And what do we do now?
We give them both tickets.
We didn't think of the tie.
Well, usually a tie, how we determine a tie is who does it in less time. But they both used, it seems to me, exactly their 45 seconds is what it sounded like to me.
They did.
Whoa, just got to give them both.
Both tickets.
We have to. They were both really good.
They were good contestants, I will say that.
Give them both tickets.
Give them both tickets.
All right.
Come on.
Listen, we're going to give you both tickets.
All right.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Well done.
Cheers.
For you guys.
Congratulations, guys.
Ralph and Lisa, not quite so good.
All right.
Thank you.
Please
sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is you pick up the phone and give us a call toll free at 1-800-520-1067. In return, you get a valuable prize. You guys are going to be so excited when you hear what we have today. You ready for this?
All right.
Ralph, are you bolted down?
Yes.
Go.
Tickets for USC football season opener as they take on the Idaho Vandals. That's this Saturday, September 1st at the Los Angeles Coliseum, plus passes to the K-Rock tailgate party before the game. How about that?
Oh, football is back.
You don't get to see a 77 football game very often, folks, so make sure you run out.
What's a 77 football game?
70-7.
Oh, 70-7.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point.
They're projected underdogs by about 60. That's the spread in that game. So look forward to that, won't you? Yeah.
It turns out that LA does have a pro football team, and they're called the USC Trojans. So, yeah, you get tickets for that for this Saturday. It is that time of year. So that's what you get for being on the air. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start with today?
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You're on the air, dude.
Come on. Well, stop talking to that guy.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Tom?
Yeah, I was driving the 405. I work at a body shop, and me and my buddy were in the car. We just got out of 7-Eleven, got on the 405, and we're driving, and we see K-Fed rolling in an Escalade next to us.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And he's sitting there, like, all jamming to his songs and stuff, and my buddy rolled down his window and threw his Slurpee, and it went right inside his car.
Oh, dude.
And I didn't even think twice about it, and I got back to work, and I guess K-Fed called my boss. I don't know if it was him or who.
Wait, because why did you have the writing on the outside of?
It had writing on the outside of the car and stuff.
Yes,
and so my boss pulls us in. He's all, "Where do you guys go?" We're all, "We just went to go get lunch, and we came right back." He's all, "You didn't have to stop at a 7-Eleven, did you?" And I'm all, "Yeah, why?" And he's all, "Oh, because I just got a call saying that you're throwing Slurpees at people on the freeway and all that."
I hope he gave you a bonus.
No, he actually let me and my boss. He let me and my buddy go.
He fired you?
Yeah, he fired us over K-Fed. What a bunch of crap.
Dude, you made the right call. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate K-Fed, honestly.
We don't blame you. Hey, look, you don't want to work for a guy if he can't appreciate the good work you did for America out there on the freeway, man. Well
That's
done.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Anybody buy that story?
Well, I had trouble.
Anybody buy that story?
I had trouble buying that it went in the window because it seems like when you throw it out, if
and
you're going fast.
Fired afterwards and K-Fed called the number on the truck. Does anybody
that part
buy
was
that
a little
story?
Surprising.
Does anybody buy it?
I want to believe it, Ralph.
I was buying it.
I think I was too, yeah. Now that I think about it, maybe not. Frank in Southgate, good morning. Turn down the radio, Frank. Hey, Frank.
We got to get some phone screeners that maybe explain that to him before we go to them.
You hold on. Thank you. Let's go to Shane from Santa Fe Springs. Good morning, Shane.
Hey, what did you do next?
What did you do?
What did you do, Shane?
What up, Leaf May?
What's going
on? Okay. I work at the Blue. I was at the Blue Bayou,
mm-hmm.
and David Hasselhoff was there. He had a bag of pictures of himself, and he was signing them and giving them out to random people.
You mean he would walk up to people who didn't ask for them?
No, he was sitting at his table, and then he was just like, anybody that walked by, he's like, oh, hi, I'm David Hasselhoff, and he would give him a picture.
Oh, nice, you got a little parting gift.
And then he wanted to take pictures with every one of the servers and every one of the busters, and so he just told them all to come here, and they all took a big group picture, and he signed the picture because it was one of those ones Polaroid. That come out. Polaroid, there you go.
Polaroid, yeah.
And then after, when he was done, when he left, he announced that he announced to everyone he was leaving.
David Hasselhoff is leaving the building.
He does love being the Hoff. You gotta give him that.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But don't you think he would be a little gun shy by the fact that not everyone seems to love him as much as he does? I mean, don't you think
he doesn't know that?
Get that?
Who doesn't love the Hoff?
This is a mess.
Thank you for the
would
call.
Would you turn down an autographed picture of the Hoff if
no
he gave
way.
It to you?
No way.
I would absolutely want one. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You bring it back and say, look at that. Look at what I got. Greatest thing ever.
All right. Let's go to Jamie in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jamie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. What up, Lisa May?
What up?
What'd it do?
Hi. Yesterday, I was watching the news. I don't know if you heard what happened to Hulk Hogan's son.
Sure.
Apparently, he was involved in a pretty bad car accident. Him and his passenger were both seriously hurt, is what the news was saying.
Yeah.
and they had images, videos of Hulk Hogan standing by the scene. The car looked pretty bad.
The car looks worse than pretty bad. It looks like it went into a crusher at a junkyard. It doesn't look like it was possible that anyone walked away from that wreck.
Yeah, it's saying that he hit a tree. I think it might have wrapped around it. But if anybody survived that wreck, I was very surprised.
Now, is Nick Hogan famous for anything besides being Hulk Hogan's son? Forgive me, but is he a pop singer or anything like that I should know him from?
No, he's just on Hogan Knows Best.
Attempting drifting or racing.
He was supposedly drag racing, is what they're saying.
Yeah, he was at high speed. Hit a median.